Here we go.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Anyway, a couple of things that are happening around town for Stephanie's Bees. They're going to be at July the 14th at the Troubadour. Actually, they already played. And then Polysponic Spree are playing at the El Rey.
He's whacked out of his gourd.
What did you want the man to do?
Why do women have boobs? So you got something to look at while you're talking to them.
That's what they're for, all right.
You're just a woman with a small brain, with a brain a third the size of us. It's science.
Let me ask you something. What do women want? Who cares?
And now...
Come on. I know it's tempting to just mail it in, but there's still a lot of people who rely on us week to week. I think we owe it to them to be as inspired as we were in our first few years.
Our feature presentation.
Wow.
A lot of pressure there. Wow.
Not too hard to be as inspired as we were in the first 2 years. We were lazy then. It's not bad. Psycho Mike, suit and tie?
He looks very good.
A suit and tie.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about?
What's that about, Mike?
You're wearing...
Your attire.
Now that you say mention it, I am wearing a suit and a tie.
Yeah.
I just... Now, it's Thursday.
Is this because your boyfriend Petros Papadakis is coming in, perhaps?
Yeah, you got me. Well, he goes out of his way to look so nice when he comes in.
He does.
I mean, usually it's
he really dolls up.
Whatever sweatpants he has on that day and some Uggs and a Hello Kitty t-shirt with stains on it.
Yeah, that's true.
You can tell what Petros has eaten in the last 10 days just by seeing his outfit. We are going to take your calls for Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew, by the way, on any topic. 1-800-520-1067. Let me see. What else? What else could it possibly be? Is it because we're talking to Jean-Sebastien Jaguar from the Mighty Ducks on the phone today?
No.
That's not it?
That's not it either?
Doesn't seem right, no.
Did you dress up? Let me guess. I think you dressed up so that you looked nice when you went to get food at 8 o'clock to go on the food run.
Why at 8?
Well, we need food about 8.
Yeah, that's when we get hungry.
I mean, I don't ever really go get food.
Right, I know.
It's the intern's job. Why would it be at 8 o'clock?
You know, the interns have been doing it a lot. I just like to give them a little, just a brief, rest today. If you don't mind getting food today, that'd be cool.
Seems strange. Okay, yeah. Usually you get food like in the 6 o'clock hour. Though.
Yeah, but today I think I'm going to be hungry at 8.
You had a big meal last night, didn't you, Kevin?
Yes, I did. Thank you, Lisa, for helping me out.
Not really hungry yet.
Well, what's going to be going on the air? What will Mike miss if he goes to get food at 8?
Well, just Odette Yusman.
Ah!
Just her in studio. That's all.
The hot chick from The Unborn?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, yep. That's a shame, Mike. That's when you might be gone. Oh, she's so pretty.
She would have seen him in his suit and probably fallen in love with him.
Probably fallen instantly in love with him if she saw him. That's
here.
True.
Instantly.
Who's the Victoria's Secret model that we did this to you?
Adriana Lima.
Lima.
Yeah.
Petros was here that day, too.
And
interesting.
We sent Mike out for food because he's obsessed with her. And then he was rushing back and got a speeding ticket, which we find very funny.
The best of all possible worlds.
But didn't he see her for 1 second as he pulled into the parking lot? He saw like the back of her head getting into the limo or something. Like that was the extent of what he got to look at.
Although most of his dreams involve the back of her head. So.
Yes, they certainly do.
That worked out well for him.
Well, you're going to be the best dressed guy in the Jack in the Box drive-thru at 8 a.m. I'll tell you that,
Michael. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
That's cool of you to dress up like that. I'm sure the people at the fast food restaurants will very much appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll give Odette your best.
Let's take your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Well, Saturday night, the Los Angeles Kings are hosting the New Jersey Devils. Psycho Mike is going to be there along with K-Rock's Kevin. I just heard that Miss Double December 2009 is also going to be attending that Kings tailgate party. Is that true?
Turns out she's going to be there along with 2008 Playboy Playmate Kelly Carrington.
Damn!
Yeah.
Wow. And Kings legend Marty McSorley will be there. You win all of that, the tickets to the game and to the tailgate party, for being on the air with us right now for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Dan and Covina, by the way, who has a Kings-related question on line 3.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Hey. What's up?
Hey, quick question for Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin, I'm not a big baller shot caller like you, so I've only been to one Kings game.
Yeah.
$25 for parking. Do you know anywhere better to park around Staples Center, not $25?
No, there's
not all $25.
No, there, but it just, you know, the lots are all around there, and you just have to park a little bit further away and walk another block.
Yeah, a couple of blocks.
Okay,
it's not too bad.
Kevin, Kevin, of course, takes his helicopter. He's got a private helipad on top of Staples Center.
And then
so.
I just rappel down onto the roof, and then they let me in.
Right. But, yeah, it's just like going to the airport, dude. You can find $5 parking as long as you're willing to walk for 10 minutes, you know?
If you don't mind the walk, it's not that far. Right behind FIDM, the Fashion Institute, on, like, Olive and 11th, there's a pretty cheap one. It's usually $5 or $10.
Yeah, right behind the Fashion Institute.
It struck me that only Mike would know where that is.
Yeah, I don't know how many. Oh, yeah, right behind that place.
That's where I park every time for the Laker games. It's FIDM's right there. Like this, I guess they
use
that parking lot.
FIDM. I mean,
when the school's in.
Sure.
Don't have to tell us.
Sure. All right. Let's go to Josh in Ontario. Good morning, Josh.
What a do, nephew. What a do, baby boo.
What a do, Josh.
Basically, I just received one of these As Seen on TV products in mail called Mighty Men. And basically, they advertise it as, like, it'll hold any material together. They actually have a ripped parachute, and they put it on it, and the guy jumps.
Oh!
Yeah, you can't say the S word, unfortunately. I know it's just habit for a lot of people, but you can't do that. But did you say Mighty Men?
Yeah,
Mighty Mend.
Mend.
You know what? I think Omar got Ralph that for Christmas, didn't he? Because this is the stuff that mends clothes, as opposed to this Mighty Putty that puts like objects.
Hi, Billy Mays here for Mighty Putty.
That's what I thought we were talking about.
Mm-mm. This is for clothing.
It just doesn't work.
It didn't work?
It came apart in like 20 minutes, and it's silicone-based, and it leaves a lot of residue all over the material that you put it on.
All right, wait a second. You're saying that an item that they advertised on TV did not live up to the promise?
Exactly, just like the ShamWow.
How?
Okay, but
I'm going to
speak for Ralph, who's not here today, unfortunately, because if he were, he would say, you're clearly doing it wrong.
No.
That's what happened, Josh. Nope, you didn't follow the directions.
There's no way to do it right. It doesn't work.
Well, I'm just telling you what Ralph would say if he were here. He would be defending the honor of As Seen on TV.
If you really care about proving it, you need to try it with the parachute like they
did. That's correct. That's correct.
Great point. Great point.
All right, let's go to JR in the City of Industry. Good morning, JR.
Morning, what it do?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hello.
Yeah, you know, I work for Frito-Lay.
Yeah.
And man, these hot Cheetos, this like crack.
Yeah,
they are.
Best food ever. Best food ever.
And as we speak, I'm supposed to deliver 2 pallets of hot Cheetos into one of my stores.
To our building?
Excuse me?
To our building?
You know, we could arrange a little something, you know.
That's what he's
I gotta complain about that, JR, because no one does more to promote hot Cheetos than the Kevin and Bean Show. Do you think Frito-Lay has sent us one bag for all of our effort, for the thousands and thousands of dollars of free advertising they've gotten on our show? Have we heard a peep out of Frito-Lay for the good work that we're doing here in Southern California? No.
You know, I agree. You know, I think they should send you at least, you know, oh,
at least one tiny bag of
I'm just saying there ought to be we shouldn't be paying to have the hot Cheetos delivered like we are for the machine in the back, you know.
I believe you guys should get, you know, at least 3 pallets a week, man.
Okay. Listen, I mean, if that happens, we're not going to complain.
Have you guys tried the Flamin' Hot Funyuns?
Have not tried the Flamin' Hot Funyuns.
No, didn't even know about them.
They're brand new. I mean, there's a lot out there. There's Flaming Hot Fritos, Flaming Hot Lays. I mean, that stuff is like
Flaming Hot Lays, by the way, is a porn movie I rented over the weekend. It was very different.
might need to try all of
those.
Not
the same thing.
Hint, hint.
All right, let's go to Jeff in Whittier. Good morning, Jeff.
What up, Knuckle Butts?
What's going on?
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, what's this crap I heard yesterday that instead of getting your income tax check, you're going to get an IOU?
Well, I think you know what that crap is the state of California is broke, broke, broke.
Yep. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true.
But they're borrowing for everything else.
Yep.
If you have the states aren't allowed to borrow.
Oh, they aren't?
Is it going to be federal or state? Just state?
I think
state.
It's the state. State of California is who it came out yesterday and said that's what they were going to do.
Is it going to be handwritten in crayon by the governor? Or
they're going to give IOUs to state employees.
Oh, well, that's just...
Yeah, they can't borrow, so they're just screwed. The federal government can borrow.
Well, why don't they borrow from the federal government then?
Okay.
An IOU. Good times.
Why can't they borrow from China like everybody else did?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Good question.
No kidding.
They got to get a credit card.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. It's so easy to just ignore the news because you always hear lots of stuff that doesn't affect you and you go, well, that sucks. But this crisis, this financial crisis that's going on right now, is the worst that any of us have ever lived through. And it's serious, and it's hardcore, and it's so much. It's going so much further, and will continue to go so much further than we have ever imagined with stuff that they're cutting down and shutting down, and it's just, it's awful.
I heard they were suggesting that maybe there will be some days where you don't take your kids to school to save money.
Yeah. I mean, they already, in a lot of states, including mine, by the way, they're forcing state employees to take, you know, a certain number of days off without pay. Of course, they've already started that program here at K-Rock.
Sure.
But, you know, they'll say they'll have schools closed for a certain amount of days, or the Department of Motor Vehicles would be closed. You know, okay, this month it'll be closed these 3 days because they're going to save money by doing it that way. I mean, they've got to do something, I guess.
Yeah.
How about that? All right. Let's take Rob in Fullerton. Good morning, Rob.
Morning, what'd it do?
What'd it do,
baby boo?
Hey, Rob.
Hey, I saw Kobe Bryant when I took my daughter to see Disney on Ice at the Honda Center. We're all, like, sitting there, and we see this huge black guy come in with security, and we're like, what the hell's going on? And but we're all
scared. You're just shocked to see a black guy at Disney on Ice, weren't you?
What the hell, there's a black guy in front of everything? No, just kidding. And my wife's, like, staring at him, and she's like, that's Kobe Bryant. And she hated Kobe Bryant because all his shenanigans, and all of a sudden she's like in love with Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, sure. How that changes.
He's wonderful. Oh my God, it's Kobe Bryant.
How fascinating is it though? When you look at him on the court, you know, playing in the NBA, he looks like he's, you know, not short but not tall. He's medium, maybe. But then you run into him in real life, and you go, "Wow, that guy's a giant."
It's freakish.
Yeah, he was huge, and then it's pretty cool though because we got to see like his. His fatherly side, he's like dancing with his kid. He's like, you know, dancing around. And even like the skaters start noticing him and they're like kind of messing up with their moves. It was good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I guess everyone's got a private side.
It basically turned into like Kobe Bryant on ice because that's who everybody was staring at once he showed up.
Sure.
Yeah. That's got to suck.
Even we were leaving and like my wife's like pushing me on the side, like nudging me with her elbow, like knocking me over. And I'm like, what? What do you want? And, I turn around, Kobe Bryant's like right behind us putting his kids in the Bentley.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, I want to get his autograph. But I'm like, I just decided not to because you don't want to mess with someone when they're with the kids and all that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Hey, Rob, I'm about out of time for the play-by-play of every moment of Kobe Bryant's evening.
What?
Do you get the idea his wife is done with him?
I'm not. I could talk about Kobe Bryant all day. I have no problem with it.
They seem pretty happy, you know, and she's hot.
She is hot, yeah.
Yeah
she people is. People who say she's not hot are freaking idiots. And they go to
Lisa which meant your wife. I think Lisa meant your wife's done with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think, like, she actually agreed, you know, because...
Okay, I can't. I tried.
Now you're out.
I stood up for him. I tried.
Dean was right.
Yeah, he was done. He was out. I'm sorry. You got to realize it's the end. I mean, Kevin wanted to wait till the end of the credits just to see if there was something funny that came on after the movie. But no, in this case, it was just 11 minutes of credits.
There rarely is, but
all right. You don't want to miss it because then you don't have to pay to come back to see it.
Let's,
I understand.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. I'm going to tell you about the worst song that's ever been recorded. And you
what is the date today on today's Kevin and Bean Show, for information's sake?
Asperger's Boy, it is Thursday the 8th of January.
Vagina.
The worst song ever recorded. I'll play you that today.
I'll back you up on that.
And there's a lot of competition for that honor.
I know, but this is a strong contender.
Mm-hmm.
Petros Papadakis will be in the studio. Talk to J.S. Jaeger from the Ducks about their game with the Kings. And Odette Yustman.
Hell yeah!
Hell yeah!
In studio from The Unborn. Very excited about that.
Yeah.
And don't forget, in the 7 o'clock hour, you're a chance to win a new Burton snowboard. So that's coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. A quick break, and we'll come right back with the show.
Whatever happened to that band? It'd be cool if they didn't die.
They put out an album about, 4 or 5 months ago or so. That was okay. It was pretty good. But they peaked pretty much creatively, I think, about that time of that album right there.
That was one of my favorite things was how childish those guys were. I just loved that. They would fight with each other
on
through
stage,
the press and on stage and just...
Yeah.
They were just dicks.
Hey, they're brothers. What are you going to do, you know? Mm. It's 5:51 on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, just in time for the new year, 2009, the post-holiday edition of Psycho Mike's Psycho Body coming up in the 6 o'clock hour here this morning, too. So if you've got some fitness questions, be thinking about those. In the meantime, Ralph is out ill today, and we're going to take a look at the Showbiz Beat. I didn't see the show last night because they were interviewing Patrick Swayze, but Patrick Swayze was interviewed last night on TV.
Yeah,
Barbara Walters
sat down with him. You know, he was diagnosed with this pancreatic cancer. For folks who don't recognize the name, I should say Patrick Swayze, very popular actor back in the 80s, probably peaked with the Dirty Dancing movie, but has worked ever since. He had the pancreatic cancer diagnosis about a year ago, and this is the first time that he has really done an interview about it. And a lot of people had questions like, how are you still alive?
Right. Yeah. He was supposed to pass away by now, isn't he?
Within 2 months. Yeah. When that first
pancreatic cancer, when you get that diagnosis, start wrapping up your affairs, basically, because it's, you know, 2 to 6 months, you're usually gone. Here he is, here he is a year later. And not only was he, you know, did he have the diagnosis, was he sick, went through treatment, but he continued to work. He's got a new TV show called The Beast? Is that what it's called?
I think so.
That he filmed, and while he was undergoing chemo and everything, and this is the most fascinating thing to me, by the way, that he said he made the decision not to use any painkillers. He didn't take any Vicodin or hydrocodone or anything like that during treatment, even though he was in excruciating pain, because he didn't want to take the edge off his brain, as he put it, for acting. He wanted to still be sharp when he showed up on the set, so he did not take painkillers during all of that.
That's a lot of pain.
Dude, he's as tough as he is in his movies.
Pain don't hurt. That's is what he told us. Yeah.
Wow.
In 5 months of filming, he only missed a day and a half of work. And by the way, how sad is it going to be if he went through all of that to do this TV show for the A&E network called The Beast and no one watches when it debuts on January 15th? I mean, I feel obligated to tune in now. He's going to go to all that trouble
just
to make
because
this
of
show.
What he went through?
Yeah. Mm. But anyway, he's a trooper. I mean, that's I have a feeling he's one of those guys, and I don't know what the medicine is on this, but positive attitude, I have a feeling, had a lot to do with keeping him alive.
So, yeah. I mean, what's his diagnosis now? Is he going to recover or?
No. He says 5 years would be wishful thinking. 2 years seems more likely if he's going to believe the statistics. He says he wants to hang on and, you know, hope he knows they're working on a cure. He hopes that he will benefit from that. But the American Cancer Society says pancreatic cancer has a 5% 5-year survival rate. The majority of patients die within 6 months. So any time he gets at this point is gravy. But, you know, obviously he's doing everything he can to hang on.
Wow.
So it works against him in the whole, hey, if I start watching this TV show, it comes back for another season. You know?
They should start filming it now.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Could we please, please, please get past this story? Ralph did it yesterday. There's another new interview in W Magazine. Jennifer Aniston, Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt. Honestly, haven't we done 7,000 stories on this?
But for some reason, it still sells magazines and people still watch the shows and talk about it and care about it. And I don't really, the timeline is not that interesting to me as to who did what to whom when.
Brad Pitt married to Jennifer Aniston when he filmed Mr. and Mrs. Smith with Angelina Jolie. And the whole thing is, did they fall in love and start having an affair on the set while he was with Jennifer Aniston? And if so, blah, 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 blah. And there's been 700 covers, magazine covers and articles, and now there's another one in W.
They're kind of attractive people. Yes. I think that helps tremendously.
But it's the same story.
I think it had died down until Jennifer Aniston gave her interview where she said how uncool it was that they got hooked up on that movie set while they were still married. And I think now Brad wants to set the record straight from his camp to say, no, we got interested in each other after Jen and I divorced during the movie making.
If Jennifer Aniston would have shut her trap a long time ago, this would have died down.
So you think it's because she keeps bringing it up?
Yeah. Constantly on Oprah and in her GQ interview, everywhere she goes.
Well, people keep asking her about it, too.
True. Yeah. True, but I mean.
But at some point, can we just go asked and answered?
Yeah.
We've talked about it all we can.
It does seem like the Kennedy assassination. It does seem like there's never a lack of new angles and new interest in what happened.
But here's the thing. We'll never know. There's no way that we'll ever know the truth. So let's just move on. You don't mind.
There's a young actress in the showbiz news this morning. I'm unfamiliar with her work. Perhaps you guys have heard of her. Her name is Odette Yustin. She apparently is in a new film called The Unborn that's opening up on Friday. Oh, that's right. She's going to be here in the studios of The Kevin and Bean Show at 8 o'clock this morning. That's right. Well, I didn't realize this until today, but Us Weekly magazine reports that Odette has a boyfriend who only Lisa could have possibly heard of.
Really?
Because his name is Dave Anobly?
Ooh.
From a TV show called Brothers and Sisters.
Oh.
He's not right for her.
I think he pronounces it Annibal.
Annibal, okay.
Yeah, I know who that
Anyone
is.
Anyone have any idea who he is?
I think I know. I think it's Kevin on that show. I'll have to check.
Is that good?
Well,
he's not
good for her. She needs to upgrade to a star we've heard of then. I'm just saying she's a Det Yusman.
I'm stuck. I'm going to look him up. I'll let you know next time.
Because you are our brothers and sisters correspondent.
I know everyone who's on it, but I don't know all their names.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll find out. But apparently that's the hot couple. Until she comes in today and sees Psycho Mike in a suit, apparently.
As he gets food at a fast food restaurant. AbsoluteNow.com is saying again, Paris Hilton doing nothing but talking about how she wants babies.
We need to stop babies.
I want babies, babies, babies. And that's another one that's just about every other week.
Yeah.
She needs to go to China, and they need to strap her down and force sterilization on her.
We don't advocate that for everyone, but I think it's pretty safe with Paris Hilton.
I agree.
So that's bad.
Has she been able to keep a dog alive yet? I mean, shouldn't that be some sort of a precursor to being able to have a baby?
I don't know.
They do seem to change out a lot, and we never hear what happens to the old ones.
High turnover of pets.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, one of the biggest and one of the best movies of 2008. The sequel is in the work to Iron Man. They're calling it Iron Man 2, by the way, in case you were curious. I think that's very creative.
Wow.
Looking forward to that. The movie is going to begin filming this spring. Here's some of the casting news, by the way, that I have not heard. Mickey Rourke, who, as you know, is on a huge comeback trail right now with his film called The Wrestler in theaters now, is apparently scheduled to play the Crimson Dynamo, who is an evil version of Iron Man, also has a suit of armor. If Ralph were here today, he could explain the dynamics.
Crimson Dynamo.
The Crimson Dynamo versus Iron Man. Yeah, he's going to be the head villain in the movie. Sam Rockwell is in talks to also play a villain in the flick named Justin Hammer, who's a multi-billionaire businessman and a rival of industrialist Anthony Stark. That's the Robert Downey Jr. character. So Iron Man 2 is coming, and I'm sure it's going to be great because Robert Downey Jr. is back on, and our friend Jon Favreau is back on directing, and the first one was super. So, what do you make of that guy coming back?
I don't know.
This?
I didn't see the wrestler.
I haven't either, but I saw some photos, and I don't recognize him.
No, he looks like a wax figure.
He does.
From Madame Tussauds. It doesn't look like a human being.
In a million years, I wouldn't have guessed that's who that was.
Well, I think he's had a fair amount of plastic surgery, and also for some reason he went off and tried to get an amateur boxing career going and was not very good at it, and his face has been pummeled. I mean, he looks like a guy who has been beat up every day of his life.
By the way, I just looked up
the dude.
Boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He plays Justin. He's really hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still really?
Not a surprise.
But still not right.
No, because the guy's got a drug problem.
On the TV show?
Well,
in real life,
who knows?
That's what
for
let's
sure
say
on the TV show.
In real
show.
Life, he's a pedophile.
Let's start that. Allegedly.
Allegedly, know that today.
Allegedly,
if you hate your boobs, MTV is looking for you. The New York Post, page 6, says the network is casting women who are looking for a better bust line without the help of surgery for an upcoming episode of True Life. I Hate My Breasts.
Oh, what could they possibly do for them?
And I would like to suggest that they could find everyone they need in the Christmas book that Bean got for Dave the King of Mexico called The Big Boob Book. I was looking through that book yesterday, Bean, and I was out of my mind with the hideous boobs that are in that thing.
Really? Is it bad? See, because here's what happened.
Hideous faces?
I was looking for a present for the King of Mexico, and he loved the boobs, as we all do, and I came across this coffee table book of big-breasted women, but it was in the store, they had sealed copies only. They didn't have one that you could...
So I thought,
this is going to be great.
You know why they had it sealed?
You don't want it?
Oh, my God. You look at that and you go, I'm surprised anyone ever took any picture of that person.
Are there no fake breasts in there?
No.
Is that the deal?
No fake breasts.
They're real.
And they
see, boys, this is what real boobs look like.
No, you have no idea. This book, it seems they went out of their way to make each woman and each woman's boobs look as bad as possible.
Really?
Kevin was beating up the book. I'm not kidding. Watching Kevin read this book was hilarious.
You lean over a chair, Bean, so that your boobs are, so that the chair is right in your stomach and your boobs are just hanging straight down.
Oh, that's not a good look necessarily.
And they're not good boobs to start out with.
Right.
It was mind-boggling.
Like your grandma's boobs.
Yes.
I wonder what the point of the book is then.
Well, here's the thing. The book was designed to give you kind of a historical look at nudity and photography in America.
But only the bad stuff.
Well, no, but the problem is that pre, 1970, the women that were taking their clothes off for photographs were not the best looking women.
And when you say not the best, you mean the worst.
A lot of times, yes. I mean, it wasn't that cool to just go and be in Playboy like it is nowadays.
There was a different beauty standard for a lot of people back then.
And it was ugly.
And I think this was for more of a, like I said, kind of like artistic. Historical and artistic.
Historical accounting of bad pictures taken of bad boobs.
Kevin to go in the bathroom and have some Kevin time with it,
Wow, it was bad. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, you can go to MTV.com in the casting if you're interested in being on that show. By the way, I went to that site this morning, and you can't believe how many different True Life shows they are casting for right now. Next hour, I'll give you a list of some of the other things that they're looking for to put people on.
You're not happy with your boobs, Bean?
Today's celebrity birthdays, and there are a bunch of them. One of the last remaining surviving members of The Doors, Robbie Krieger, turned 63 years old today. How about R. Kelly? 42 years old today. R. Kelly.
And
acquitted,
not in jail.
I'd like to remind you guys, he raped a bitch on TV, and he was acquitted.
Yeah, right. We saw that video.
Yes. Yes, we did.
Allegedly.
And, he got off. And then he was acquitted.
No, he was acquitted.
Can we see it now?
I said he got off, and then he was acquitted.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Not that we saw, because it would be illegal.
No, because if it was illegal, we didn't. But I'm saying.
But how can it be illegal if he was acquitted?
Terrific rapper and actor Xzibit turns 35 today. Another favorite of the Kevin and Bean Show, MC Stephen Hawking, is 67 years old today. And, of course, the big one is David Bowie, who is 62. And that is the Ralph Shilby.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 6 o'clock. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we're going to do Psycho Body, because everybody seems to be obsessed with their health at the beginning of the year.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Our
resolutions.
Yeah, but we stopped that madness a long time ago, because let's face it, you get like 2 days in, then you're out.
You're just a big fat failure
Just set your sights lower, people. But there are a lot of people who want to lose weight, whatever. So if you want some help on that, or you want to call, we'll do that in about 10 minutes here on K-Rock.
Also, Weezer on the way, Incubus Dining Channels, and don't forget a brand new Burton snowboard for you between 7 and 8 every morning this week. And that includes today on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, how about checking in on the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. That's our radio station answering machine. You call us, leave a message, get on the air.
Other day we had beer mug snorting stuff just to see, you know, what it was like.
Just because it's fun.
And then this dude called.
Beer mug is the shit. Okay, is my hero.
Okay. Mine as
you
well.
You can see the video, by the way, at krock.com in the Kevin and Bean section. You can actually see beer mug. And it does, I mean, it looks like it burns.
Yeah.
When some of that, like the hot Cheetos, go up his nose.
He's a dick. Hey, Lisa.
Alrighty.
He's handling all his business on one short phone call.
We played an interview that they had on NPR of a little girl describing her little brother who had Asperger's syndrome.
Yes.
Which was identical to Bean.
Bean Dexter. Dean Baxter, that's what an Asperger's all about.
A lot of songs today, oddly enough. Yeah. Next, yesterday I hit Mike in the face. Was it yesterday? Day before. Day before. He had it coming, let's be honest. But
you hit him.
Well,
you actually walked over and hit him in the face.
I did it, and honestly, I didn't mean it to be quite that hard.
Well, you don't know
that's
your own strength.
Said.
But apparently, it was a hit.
Kevin, did you really just hit Psycho Mike in the face? Good.
You know, it's funny because Kevin had turned a little bit into the boy who cried wolf, because he has been threatening to punch Mike in the face for years now. And I guess we all just kind of thought it was an expression. But the other day, he actually stood up, walked over, and hit. I mean, Mike didn't even try to defend himself because he couldn't believe it was really going to happen.
Well, he should have believed it. He believes it now, bitch.
Believe that.
Thank you, Kevin Ryder, person of the year, for doing what every single one of us have wanted to do ever since he came on the air. Psycho Mike, F you. Kevin Ryder, you f***ing rule. And, wait, I just said F, and then I said what's wrong with me? I should get punched in the eye for that.
Kevin
has turned into the people's champ, hasn't he?
So far, Gene Simmons wanted to deliver a hot beef injection to Lisa May. Bean could no longer deny he had Asperger syndrome. Ralph created a TV show he made up in his head that he thinks he's on. And Kevin decked Psycho Mike. Yeah, I think 2009 is going to be a great year, guys.
Got a new feature on the show as of this morning.
Let's all talk about Odette. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I like it. I like it very much.
The next call is from our friend Dewan.
Yes, what's Dewan up to?
What's up, Kevin Bean? It's Dewan. And this go out to all the Potterazzis. Hey, Potterazzis, I want for you the guys to leave the celebrities alone, please. They don't want to be bothered sometimes. If they want to talk to you sometimes, let them talk to you. But don't come up to them and take no pictures, make fun of them. Talk about their jokes, their businesses, or their privacy. All right? Be cool, paparazzis. All right? But sometimes you can take pictures of them.
What? I don't even understand that.
What just happened?
I don't know, but I want you to hear something. I want to play just a tiny bit of this call. And I want you to listen for Juwan's fire sensor,
the smoke detector,
which he hasn't changed his battery on, and we can't get him to.
They don't want to be bothered. So
there it is.
Every time he calls, we say, Juwan, seriously, your battery has to be changed. It's not safe. He's like, okay, I'll take the battery out. We're like, no, don't do that. Change it, because the smoke detector doesn't work properly unless it has a battery. I don't think he understands that.
We'll come over and do it. No, I'll do it. Okay. Every time he calls, we hear that chirping in the background.
Psycho Mike, is there any way, I know you and Juwan are tight, and you guys have a wee date coming up anyway, is there any way you can drive on over there with a 9-volt battery? Because I don't want to lose Juwan in a fire.
100%. When I go over there for other reasons, I'll just do it.
All right.
But
okay.
I offered numerous times.
I know you have. We've got to force him to do it.
He was insistent that he do it. He was insistent that he'll take care of it. So.
And finally, why Juwan might be our favorite listener ever.
What up, Kevin and Bain? It's Juwan from Los Angeles, California. One, two, let me see the Tootsie Roll. Come on, the Tootsie Roll.
No.
That's like a Tootsie Roll. Tootsie Roll.
No.
Tootsie Roll to the left, to the left, to the right, to the right. Now front, to the left, to the left. To the left, to the back. Dedicated to all you guys go to LA Train Tech and UCLA. And when I see you at LA Train Tech, all of you guys, I will sign some autographs from you guys. All right?
All right.
Recognize me. Peace out.
Come on.
Wow.
Wasn't the Tootsie Roll from 69 Boys, wasn't that the band from like the mid-90s?
Oh, yeah.
But doesn't it need to be brought back in grand style like that?
Recognize!
How is he singing that? How is that the call that he made in 2009?
I don't know, but I love him for it. He's the best guy I've ever known right there. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show at 22 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Did that one end?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's the first week of the new year, first week of 2009, and I don't know why more people don't take a page out of the Bean playbook, which is just to vow every year to eat worse, get less exercise, and sleep more. I mean, that's the big three that I get. Eat more of what it is you want, get less exercise, and sleep more. And I've got to tell you, I'm a guy who has never broken a New Year's resolution.
Yeah, you have a perfect track record.
And never felt better,
that's
right?
That's true.
And never felt better. Exactly. But it turns out that there are some people who are taking their bodies in the opposite direction. And for you, we have the Kevin and Bean Psycho Mike Psycho Bike.
Don't just get fit, get psycho. Don't just get strong, get psycho. Don't just get big, get psycho. It's the Psycho Body with your host, Psycho Mike. Are you with me?
Hey, Psycho Mike in a suit, because Odette Yussman is coming in the Black Hour from the new film, The Unborn. How are you?
Doing good, man. How are you?
As a personal trainer, you are inundated with people coming up to you with questions. And I know that gyms all over Southern California are as packed as they'll ever be this month. And then, of course, it just drops off and goes back to regular.
Sure.
But it's got to be the number one New Year's resolution. Am I right?
Yeah. Quit smoking and get in shape.
Yeah.
Lose weight, get in shape. Totally. And the problem is, like you mentioned, you're a guy who you dedicate yourself to eating crappy and not exercising. And that's fine. And if you're going to be that guy, that's one thing. I really feel bad, though, for the people who really, really make a concerted effort to try to change their lifestyle, lose weight, or get back in shape, and they're doing it all wrong. Because then it's just wasted effort, and you get frustrated, you don't see the results you want to see, you know?
It seems like this is one of those topics, though, in life where it's not complicated. All of the answers are out there, and still people can't do it.
Yeah, the problem is that I think with all the fad diets and all the books and all the people, the specialists you hear on Good Day LA and Oprah and this and that, people are afraid to admit and confront the idea that dieting and getting in shape is really, really hard. And they don't want to just take that head on. And it's not quick. It's not easy. It takes a long, prolonged, difficult amount of time to really do what you want to do and see results that you want to see.
It's not worth it. You forgot that.
No, it's 100% worth
it.
The light at the end of the tunnel is there, but it is a terrible, terrible, horrible, hard, difficult process that takes willpower and inner strength.
And I think that we look for ways. I know I certainly have over the years any way to make it painless.
Right.
And to accept that it's not painless is really difficult. It's like there's got to be a way where this is not hard for me.
Yeah, that's a big deal is that people, like I said, they want to look for the fad diet or the easy way out, the shortcut or this pill or that drink. And the truth is that it stinks and you just got to stop eating a lot of the foods you want to eat and you got to start exercising and doing things you don't want to do.
The food you eat stinks?
Oh, Kevin.
So it sounds like what you're saying, Mike, when you talk about the frustration that dieters feel is that they're working hard, they're trying to lose the weight, but they're going about it in the wrong way. They're making some mistakes that you can't help them avoid.
100%. You know, I get so many emails from people that are like, I've stopped eating all fat. I eat a completely low-fat diet, and I haven't seen any weight loss. Or I started running 3 miles a day, and I, you know, this is my diet, but I haven't seen any weight loss, and I haven't seen any results. And the bottom line is it takes a lot more effort and a lot more, you know, it's a little bit more complicated, and you got to face it head on and do these things like you want to, that you don't want to do.
Now, Mike is a certified trainer, but I would like to point out at this point in the conversation that you should check everything he says with your doctor. I mean, certainly. Everything.
Kevin.
Certainly.
Double and triple check.
I've only sent 25% of my clients to the hospital.
Okay, that's not bad.
I mean, realistically, that's not that bad.
Let me ask you this one question, and then we are going to take your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067 for the CycleBody 09. You mentioned the guy who starts running, the guy who's running the 3 miles a day. Now, isn't it true, though, that you could virtually eat whatever you wanted as long as you're burning off those calories and more, and you will lose weight? So if you exercise and it's burning off more than you're taking in, it's going to work as a diet, right, Mike?
Well, you know, yes and no. If you intake less calories than you burn off in a day, you're going to lose weight, but you're going to be flabby if you don't do a lot of other things. You know, if you're putting food in
so
your
you'll
body.
Be skinny and flabby at the same time?
Yeah, a lot of endurance athletes, if you stand at the end of a big bike race or a long marathon, are skinny fat. You know, they're not fat people in clothes, but if you were to take off their clothing, you would have no clue that they exercised at all, let alone ran 25 miles.
Wow, it's not enough to be skinny anymore. Now you got to avoid being skinny fat.
I'm not sure what your focus was. I know it's losing weight, but would you mind telling people the two or three things that people do the most that's the least effective, the most waste of time when you think about?
The number one thing people do that's the biggest waste of time is thinking that cutting all fat out of your diet is the key. It's not about just cutting fat out of your diet. A lot of fats are not only good for you, they're essential to your metabolism and helping you lose weight. Another thing people do that's a big mistake is, like I said, only leaning towards endurance exercises to try and get back in shape. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, it's an essential part of it, and I encourage people to do it because it increases your circulation, it does burn calories, and it does help your overall mood, but it's only one component of an exercise program.
And it sounds to me from everything you've said like people really are afraid of lifting weights because they don't want to look like that.
Women in particular.
Hard to do.
Women in particular are it's horrible even presenting the idea of them going to a gym and lifting weights because they think that they're going to get bulky or they're going to gain weight. And truth is your food dictates your size. Your training dictates your body composition. You know, that's if you're not eating enough to really gain weight, you're not going to become Arnold Schwarzenegger. And people put in a lot of effort trying to gain muscular weight and can't. So to think that just because you lifted a couple weights one day and didn't change your diet, you're going to all of a sudden wake up the next day as a muscular maniac.
Cute
you know?
Little girl thinks she's going to turn into China.
She's going to be swole, yeah.
Hi, I've been lifting weights for a while.
All right. Well, you've given us some good stuff to think about, and I know that the listeners out there who are fighting so desperately to lose weight, particularly as a New Year's resolution in 2009, they want to make sure they're getting started on the right foot. They can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Your telephone calls after a short break on the K-Rock Psycho Body.
No doubt you've seen the headlines. It's no secret. I've gained weight.
Yes, you have, and a lot of it.
Maybe Psycho Mike should be working with Oprah. Maybe that's what she needs.
She's the type of client you don't work with. You just say no after a while.
Just say because you're a bad representation of.
She won't do it. She won't do what you want her to do.
Yeah.
It's the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock, Thursday morning, 6:37. We're taking your phone calls now at 1-800-520-1067. Psycho Mike is here with the Psycho Body. Before we go to the calls, Omar had a caveat he wanted to share with the listeners. Good morning, O.
Hey, what's happening?
Well, some of the people here have fallen for Psycho Mike's advice, and they say, oh, hey, can you help me eat? Can you help me train? Because I want to get in better shape.
I would say 90% of his advice is good.
Okay.
Okay, but that 10% will definitely send you to the hospital. I was out for a week.
Did you go to the hospital because of Psycho Mike?
Absolutely. Okay. 100%. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, you guys have to understand that if you follow everything he says, you will get to your goal in a very short amount of time.
For sure. Or die.
Or die.
Right.
Or, you know, go to the hospital, be out of commission for a week.
Yeah.
Some of the training is very high-intensity training.
Mm-hmm.
So once you get to a certain point in lifting when you can do about 20 reps of one type of lift.
Right.
I asked Mike, I feel pretty good. I could do 20. He's all like, pack on another 20 pounds. I'm like, 20 pounds? Like, he lifts a lot.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? For me, I'm like, 20 pounds? Jesus.
That's a big jump.
I was thinking 10 pounds. You know, right. 20 pounds, dude. You could do it no problem. Go to the gym that day. I try to lift it. Blah! I ruptured a disc in my back.
Oh,
yeah,
oh
man. Bad times.
Wow.
Thanks, Mike.
That 10% he was talking about that could send you to the hospital, that's living on the edge, and that's where changes are made.
And I'd like to say again before we take calls now, ask your doctor. Omar should have called his doctor after Mike said 20 more pounds.
Yeah.
Every single time Mike says something, you should call your doctor. But let's see.
I am a doctor. I'm Dr. Swole.
Let's do the psycho body, shall we?
Don't just get fit. Get psycho. Don't just get strong. Get psycho. Don't just get big. Get psycho. It's the psycho body with your host, Psycho Mike. Are you with me?
Maybe. Let's start with Nathan in Long Beach. He's on line 4. He's a great call to get us started because we're talking about people who are committed in 2009 to changing up the way they live so that they can lose weight and look good. And we talked about how everybody's looking for shortcuts, and I think that's what Nathan is calling about. Good morning, Nathan. You're on with Psycho Mike and the Psycho Body.
Morning, guys. Lisa May.
Good morning.
Well, I have absolutely no commitment, but I do want an easy way out.
Okay.
So
good.
I want to know if I can get an electric muscle stimulator that I've seen in the backs of these workout magazine?
In short, no, it's not going to work.
I've seen commercials. Those guys are ripped.
I mean, wow. About.
Those guys are swole.
You know what I'm saying?
And I bet those guys in those print ads don't do any other exercise and probably haven't dieted or used steroids at all.
Just that electric shock.
Just that electric machine, yeah.
Yeah.
So go for it then, yeah.
Yeah. That would be a good choice.
No, right? Is the answer.
No is the answer.
Thank you for the call.
Lazy
ass. Do they do anything at all, Mike?
No, yeah, they do mimic the stimulation you get in your muscle cells from training, but it's at such a low level and, you know, you'd have to do so much else to really achieve sizable results. It's not worth it.
It's funny you bring up the TV commercials and the ads in the back of the magazines because every time I see those impossibly buff guys who are advertising exercise equipment, the one that rolls up and
sure.
You just slide it under your bed and then they pull it out and they do it for 20 minutes a day, they don't use that at all to look the way they look, right?
Most likely not. No.
No.
They can't.
Ivan in Irvine. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Welcome to the Psycho Body. What's your question?
Well, I switched up my eating habits because I just figured... You know, I eat a lot of crap anyway. Might as well just at least make smaller portions and hopefully try and kind of extend it out. So
okay.
I switch to 5 meals a day, like about every 3 hours or so. How long does that usually take and does it really work?
Yeah, no, it definitely, look, the answer is yes and no. It works because it'll help you stay fuller longer and you're less likely to go and cheat and eat something, you know, that's bad for your diet. But they have, you know, studies, pretty ample and conclusive scientific proof that 3 meals with the same exact micronutrients as 6 smaller meals, it makes no, it's moot at the end. But 5-6 small meals throughout the day will help you kind of stay on your diet because your body's fuller longer and you're less likely to go
hungry.
And yeah, exactly, get hungry quicker and go eat
like
a ding dong.
I eat 12 meals a day and 6 of them are chocolate. How am I doing?
But considering your diet and your lack of exercise, you actually are impressive.
He should be dead. Let's go to Mike at Riverside. Good morning, Mike.
Morning.
Welcome to Psycho Body. What do you got?
Colon cleanser.
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
They used to call me that in jail.
Yeah.
Colon cleanser. Look, yeah, they're good and they help, and every once in a while, maybe twice a year, do it, but it's not your solve all. It's not going to be the one thing you do and then you're thin.
Yeah, I heard a commercial recently where they were like, you do this, it's some sort of colon cleanse, and you'll be able to lose those last 10 pounds that you've been trying to lose your whole life.
You will. You'll step on the scale and you'll be lighter, but it's
for
not going to make
long?
A difference because it's just, you know, impacted fecal matter and stuff like that. And like I said, it is healthy.
I saw that this past weekend, by the way. That's
it is healthy, and it does help your overall health, but it's not like it's not everything you need to do, and you'll have a six-pack by the next day.
Yeah.
Second, Mike, I can't even believe I'm asking a follow-up question to impacted fecal matter,
yeah.
But why does some stuff get left behind and is not eliminated normally?
I don't know for sure, but my educated guess would be that we put a lot of food in our body, you know, in our Western diet that's not necessarily chemically appropriate for our stomachs, and, you know, our enzymes aren't built to break it all down, and so it just kind of stays there.
And by the way, gum is one of those things. Stays in your stomach for 7 years.
No,
that's been
what your mom
proven.
Tells you when
that's
you're a kid.
Science
right there. Just, that's not.
Let's go
to
Let's go to Fank. Fank is in Southgate on line three. What do you guys think the chances are his name's Fank?
F-A-N-K?
That's what it says.
I'm thinking Frank.
It's Frank.
I Frank, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Good morning.
What's your question?
I had a quick question about weightlifting.
Yes.
And if, should I wear a weightlifting belt to prevent hernias?
They're a pussy.
They're not going to prevent a hernia, but if they do give you a sense of a better sense of like well-being and you feel safer using it, do it. But the belt itself is not going to prevent you from injuring yourself. If you watch the Olympics and you see the Olympic lifters doing the clean and press and the snatch, they're not wearing belts for a reason because it's just not something that's going to all out prevent injury. But a lot of people feel safer having, you know, their core tightly, you know, pinched by that belt. So if you're one of those guys, go ahead and do it.
So how can I is there any way I could prevent from getting one?
Yeah, know your limitations.
Stop being a pussy.
Know your limitations. Oh. I mean, that's the truth. When
Mike
really
tells you to do an extra 20 pounds of deadlifting, say no. That's right. How you prevent the hernia.
That's the bottom line. I mean, really, you got to just kind of work that out for yourself in the gym and understand what your limitations are and don't push yourself to the point where you're going to get a hernia.
Thank you for
Let's
the call.
Talk to Rob. He is in El Segundo on line four. And this is a great question because everybody is always looking for that snack food that tastes good and is filling and isn't going to blow the diet. And I think that's what Rob is calling about. Hi, Rob. You're on with the Psycho Body.
Hey, how you doing, Kevin and the Funk Soul brother?
What's happening?
School days. Anyways, my question is beef jerky and trail mix. A couple guys are debating here at work. Is that considered like a health food snack? Or
no.
Okay, so...
Jerky not?
No.
Trail
mix and beef jerky, if you're looking at the machine in, you know, with all the snacks in it at your place of business, those might be the two healthiest choices, but it doesn't make them health foods.
They're not as bad as other things, but they're not great.
I mean, in comparison to a Snickers bar, yeah, they're great, but trail mix and beef jerky both have a lot of sodium and additives and stuff. They're not overall good for your body.
You are just a buzzkill.
Sorry, dude.
You are,
That's
man. What a
downer. Point. Yeah.
What, wow. What's your favorite, Mike? I'm sure there's something you've come across that maybe we don't think of as a snack food that is healthy and filling.
I'm setting myself up for this one, but nuts. I love nuts.
Yes, you do.
But isn't that predominantly what trail mix is?
Yeah, but trail mix also has a lot of added sugars and you know, like
raisins,
things like raisins
and
dried fruits. Yeah, that are added to, you know, make it taste better, but they're not good for you, you know?
All right, let's go to Richard, who wants to brag. Richard is calling from Torrance. Good morning, Richard.
Yeah, I want to actually know a healthy way of gaining weight because I'm actually underweight.
F you! First of all,
I'm too skinny. What can I do?
I mean, it may sound kind of naive, but I mean, you just got to eat more. You got to eat more and try to get
told him that.
Try to get the predominant amount of your extra calories from protein and healthy fats. So have things like red meat, whole milk. Try to drink nothing but whole milk with your meals. Besides water, have nothing but whole milk. That's always a good help. And they get some healthy fats in your diet and. You know, it'll happen.
And nuts.
The human
and nuts.
And nuts. The human body, if you burn off less calories than you intake, you will gain weight. It's natural to human bodies. But you got to really push yourself because you obviously have a high metabolism.
Thank you for the call.
Let's close with Tim out in Hammond. He's on line two. This might speak volumes if we learn the answer to this question. Hi, Tim. You're on the air with the Psycho Buddy. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hey, Mike. What's an example of your meal plan for a day? Just one day, you know, your food intake. What do you start with? What do you finish with?
All right, hold on, Mike. Bean, I would like yours after Mike's. Just to get that ready. All right, go ahead, Mike.
Well, let's just take, like, today, for instance. I had a half of cup of oatmeal with some sliced almonds and some chia seeds.
Sure.
I will have some...
What is that?
It's like a flaxseed, but it's just a little different.
Okay, so it's some sort of seed?
Yes.
Okay.
And then,
did you get that clue from the word seed?
And yeah. Then I will have some more almonds in about 15 minutes with a grapefruit. And then I will have some seitan, which is isolated wheat protein, with some broccoli.
He doesn't eat any foods I've ever heard of.
I know, me either.
And then
Where's
I will probably
that frozen
have
mac
some,
and cheese? Give me something I can work with.
And I'll probably have some quinoa, and then before I go to bed, I will have probably seitan or tofu again with some fresh vegetables.
When do you eat Fruit Loops?
Not often, dude. Not
Where's
often.
The
now,
Count Chocula?
Listen to me, Tim. I am a vegan vegetarian, so I don't necessarily recommend that for everybody. It's difficult and it's totally out of the ordinary, but that would be my meal plan for today along those lines.
You got really no, you know, red meat. You don't even have any poultry involved or fish in any of your diet.
So yeah, and I'm not saying that's a good thing to do. I mean, if you really want to get healthy, you should definitely have some fish and lean red meat and things like that. I just, for moral reasons, choose not to, to eat animals.
Yeah, see, I'm a little hypoglycemic, so it makes it a little tough with my workout plan to be able to eat like that, you know, so...
I think that would be hard to eat like that for anyone.
Yeah, of
course.
Thanks, thanks for the call. I don't even know what word, language you're speaking there, Psycho Mike.
I would love to make Bean eat your diet for a day.
He wouldn't do it. Just like he wouldn't scratch off scratchers or he won't do any of those things that you normal people would do. If you said, do this for a day, okay, I will. He'd start and he'd stop. He'd say, no,
what I'm
this
saying
is dumb.
Life isn't worth living if you're eating seeds, okay? I mean, don't take away... Don't take away my food. That's
you know what? Life isn't worth living for your pudgy fat ass. So, I mean, it depends on how you look at
it. It's your choice.
Well, that's why I keep inviting Petros back in. It makes me look good. He'll be joining us.
I am mad at myself. I am embarrassed. I can't believe I'm still talking about weight.
You're so fat.
I can't believe I'm still talking about weight. It's embarrassing.
All right. Just take it easy.
But here's what we're saying. Kevin Abicho on K-Rock 106.7 K-Rock here. What we're saying is, ladies, the next time Oprah comes on the TV with the new miracle diet, turn it off. She doesn't know what she's talking about.
But that
That's
could be the
point.
One. That could be the one. You don't get it. God.
She has gained 40 pounds since her ideal weight, I guess.
I feel really bad for her.
The show she did earlier this week where she moaned about it for an hour?
Yeah, that was the one. I found it on my wife's TiVo. I got a lot of stuff from that.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. And by the way, she does spend 80% of that show telling people how to lose weight. That show. The one where she admits she's way overweight.
And why do you feel bad for her?
Well, I know how it is when you gain weight. And sometimes it seems like once you start gaining, then you try harder to diet, but then you feel like you're always depriving yourself and you get into this terrible... It's in your head.
You don't know what it's like to have a live-in personal trainer and a live-in chef, numerous live-in chefs,
that's
cook
true.
Every single meal and that's bring true. It to your fat chin. You don't know what that's like.
That's right. Oprah's got no excuse. That's true.
All right.
Hey, listen, Petros Papadakis is in the next room. We got to talk about college football national championship tonight, which, by the way, I found out this morning, not sold out. That game is not sold out.
What?
If you can believe it, yeah. But we'll talk about that and what's going on with the NFL and the Lakers and everything else and talk about a guy who needs some help from Psycho Mike. Petros apparently is getting worried, too. This is wedding fast approaching. First, though, Ralph is out sick today. We got a couple of quick showbiz stories that we must tell you about. Carmen Electra back in the news. You know, she's in, I think she's in this month's Playboy, I want to say. And she did an interview where a couple of crazy things came out that I have not heard before. First of all, she says that she got in trouble in high school. She went to a performing arts high school. She says, I made the mistake of talking a couple of girls into doing a nude photo shoot. With my little school camera, I got in so much trouble, they shut down the club we were in.
She's the best.
Wow.
Carmen Electra talking high school girls into nude photos. So she clearly was on the path for Playboy even when she was a teenager. It is also reported this week, and please tell me, some of you who are more adventurous than I, how Carmen Electra uses wire coat hangers to ramp up her sex life. She won't go into detail about how she uses the coat hangers, but she admits that she has found a hot new use for them. She says, a little pleasure, a little pain, it's all about fun. Wire hangers. Lisa?
If she's saying a little pain, I'm just going to guess she's just smacking someone with the hanger.
Oh, that does not sound fun.
A little bit?
She says she's a big collector of sex toys, and she loves to visit the world's top boutiques whenever she's traveling to stock up. I love going into different sex shops, she says, and collecting the coolest handcuffs and the naughtiest lingerie. It's so exciting for me, says Carmen Electra. So,
you know, we hear story after story after story after story about Michael Jackson and his money and how he's running out. Mm-hmm. He's running out. He's got no money. He's got a lot of debt.
I thought he ran out like 4 years ago.
Apparently, he has moved back to Los Angeles, the Times says, so he can be closer to showbiz. And he has signed a year-long lease on a mansion in Bel Air. He apparently is living in the 7-bedroom, 13-bathroom, 7-fireplace estate.
Well, at least he's scaling it down.
How much money per month? $100,000.
And he can... and might I add, ching!
He can pay that?
$100,000 a month!
A month. Boy, that's a lot of money to throw away on rent, isn't
right.
it?
Right!
I don't know what his nut was up at Neverland.
Hey,
but remember,
hey with that.
His mortgage, but remember, he lost his home up there. Had you know, ended up losing it because he couldn't afford the payments anymore. So it must have been more than
that. 100 grand
a month. Yeah, that does seem a little extreme.
I mean, I don't think he'll ever end up in a two-bedroom in Studio City or something, but it does seem like if he has some cash flow problems, that maybe $100,000 a month to rent a place that big for one guy.
He's never had any sense of money.
Yeah,
I mean, we've heard stories of him.
And it isn't just one guy.
You should force him to live at like the Oakwood for like a couple months
awesome.
Just to let him understand. Yeah.
That'd be the best. And finally, Kevin did a story last hour about MTV and their casting call. Which one were you talking about? Women whose breasts were too big or too small?
Who didn't like them?
True Life, I Hate My Breasts. So yeah.
I Hate My Breasts. Okay. Well, they've got two different shows that they're doing. This True Life show, I don't know if you ever watch it on MTV, but it's pretty funny and it's pretty weird some of the stuff they do. One show that they're casting for at MTV.com is True Life, I Don't Like My Big Breasts. If your breasts are so big they negatively affect your self-esteem or people make fun of you, they want to talk to you. If you don't like your small breasts, they want to talk to you. If you're uncomfortable with your new body, they've got a show for you. Do you have body image and self-esteem issues in spite of a new and improved appearance? Have you lost a significant amount of weight, undergone plastic surgery, or otherwise altered your body dramatically and it's not going well? They want to talk to you. True Life, I'm a Newlywed is being cast right now. Psycho Mike, True Life, I'm Addicted to Porn is another show that they're working on right now. True Life, I'm Rehabbing My Injury. Sounds like a boring show.
Wow.
If you face months of intense physical rehabilitation in the months to come, they want to talk to you.
Not going to be a good show.
Here's a couple more for some people on the show. Kevin, True Life, I'm a conspiracy theorist.
Oh, I love those people.
Are you deeply suspicious of what you're told by the mainstream media? Do you feel that there are secrets being kept under a lid by the powers that be? So I'm a conspiracy theorist. Mike, True Life, I'm a racist. They're looking for
hey. Wow.
Would you ever openly admit to being a racist? Were you brought up to believe that people with skin colors other than your own are inferior? That's a show they're doing. True Life, MTV, I Hate My Tattoos, they're looking for. I'm bisexual.
Doesn't it seem like a Hate My Tattoos would be endless? There's so many people that got tattoos when they're drinking or whatever.
Lightning.
Exactly, yeah. True Life, I'm Eloping. I Can't Sleep is another one. I'm Going Bald or Losing My Hair. This is why MTV can't play videos anymore, because they've got all these shows. And it just goes on and on and on. Yeah. I'm having twins. I'm a fanboy. I lost touch with my brother or sister, and I'm looking for him or her.
Wow.
So if you've always wanted to be on MTV and you wondered, hey, how do they find those people? Where do they come from for all of those TV shows? Now you know. You just go to MTV.com, go to the casting page, and you'll see a way to get on all of those TV shows.
True Life, that list?
True Life, I Have Asperger's and Can't Admit It, perhaps.
Is that in there?
Yep. Yeah. You look at that
I
list.
Don't see that one.
You look at that list, and it covers everyone. At some point, everyone could
all of us
go
could
audition
be
for something.
Today's celebrity birthdays, genius Stephen Hawking is 67 years old today. Unfortunately, he's also sick today in addition to Ralph, so we're not going to be able to speak with him to find out how he's celebrating his birthday, but perhaps another time. R&B superstar R. Kelly is 42. One of the surviving members of The Doors, Robbie Krieger, is 63 years old today. What must it be like for a guy like that, by the way, who is still in The Doors, yet his lead singer died 40 years ago?
Yeah.
It's got to be so weird.
Not good.
Actor-rapper Exhibit is 35, and the great David Bowie turns 62 years old today, and that is the K-Rock Showbiz.
I know that Petros Papadakis is here now, but stick around for an hour because Odette Yusman is coming in, and she's starring in The Unborn.
Oh, yes. You guys think it's so cool because some hot chick's coming in here. This always happens when I'm here. I'm always followed by some hot chick, and everybody gets all excited about the hot chick.
Well, we need
I'm
to cleanse our palate.
Just like a festering piece of crap on the side of the road that you guys just, I mean, these chicks walk in and I just get stepped on. It's ridiculous.
Hey,
we do need you to make sure
to
that you need to make sure you're out of the studio by the time she arrives.
Oh,
too,
I will.
I
don't want to see your starlet. You know what? I'm getting so old now. I don't know what you guys do to figure all this stuff out and to keep up with all these kids and their wacky.
Have you seen the trailer for The Unborn?
No, I don't see nothing.
Did you see Cloverfield?
No.
Well, then shut the F up.
I don't want to see it.
What do you say? I don't know what you guys do. We live our lives. That's what we do.
Who wants to
see
Cloverfield?
We go to an occasional movie.
Look, you're misguided.
What's wrong with you?
I'll tell you what's wrong with me. Two things.
All right.
I'm struggling with two things.
All right.
On my way up, I hear about this big boob book.
Yes, Bean gave that to Dave for Christmas.
That Bean gave to Dave, or was it Psycho Mike?
It was Dave.
It's
Dave's
book. Okay. And you're making it sound like it's a freak show, like it's a circus.
It is.
Like it's a bunch of bearded ladies.
Pretty
and,
much.
You know, seven nippled men and stuff like that.
Pretty much.
No, it's not. It's Zoftig, beautiful, women from the 50s with cone-like boobs. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there is.
You guys here at K-Rock with your double December and your big inflated boobs.
Don't even start to go there.
These girls this with mystical
not,
tan and
this
their
is not,
showing.
Oh, hey,
these
just,
are real
it's
women.
Natural beauty.
Real,
no, these are ugly women.
No, you're wrong.
Ugly with horrible bodies.
30%, maybe.
Horrible.
30% okay. Ugly with horrible bodies.
You know
bodies.
What? If I say that's true. If I say there's a huge...
You said 75%
crap. I don't agree, but I'm saying if I do, there's a huge coffee table book that is about boobs with 30%, by your count, ugly, hideous bodies.
30%.
That's a huge number for a book!
I find it interesting.
Are you trying to fill
don't
pages?
Don't you find it interesting?
I do. I find
okay,
it fascinating.
The other thing that's bothering me, you are misguided when it comes to women, my friend.
Okay.
The other
why don't
thing
you tell
that
me how?
Bothers me desperately
okay.
is... I started a diet.
Yes.
Right? I started a diet, I guess, Sunday. Not drank in 4 days. Okay? I'm driving up, and that's the day. That's the freaking day you got to do Psycho Body with Psycho Mike.
Well.
That's the day I got to hear this guy telling people what they can and can't eat. Psycho Mike on his perch in his ivory tower. You know.
I know. I hear you.
I have, look. Every single bad habit you could possibly have when it comes to eating,
yes.
I have it.
Right.
Eat after 10 o'clock, I fry hot dogs and listen to Annie Lennox naked. You know?
Just how do you get her naked?
Fast food. It's tricky.
Just open it up and pour him a little, Mike.
No, I'm not drinking.
Just pour him
no,
a little bit.
No, I can't
bit.
Drink.
We brought in
no,
stuff for
I'm
you.
No, I'm not.
We brought in some good whiskey for
I
you.
I can't believe you brought Bushmills in here. Do I look like a Protestant? Listen. And then I have the problem with the fast
okay.
food. I smoke. I drink dark liquor straight all night. You
which
know.
Is right in front of you.
Yes,
go ahead.
And it's not fair. I can't. I'm not going to drink it.
It's right in front. Just it's there. But, it's just there if you need it.
Is that why? That is so cruel. You know, I might know.
Here
I don't.
Is
what,
Mike.
What do I look like? A frat boy? Like I'm going to drink it with Diet Coke? Get out of here.
Hey, Pete.
You save the Diet Coke for your starlet that comes in after me,
hey,
Psycho
Pete,
Mike.
Can I tell you why you're bad?
I have a lot of problems.
Now, and this is something that I've not been able to get.
Fast food addiction, drinking, smoking,
okay.
late night eating.
All right, take it easy. This is something that I believe I'm alone on, and I don't know
shredded
why, because
liver.
It makes perfect sense to me. But
what's a problem?
You're worried about your wedding pictures, right?
No.
You're not.
No, I just don't want
to
look.
Never
mind. I'm getting married. No, I know the whole theory. You want to be fat in your wedding pictures because
yes.
you're going to be fat your whole life, and you don't want people to say, God, what happened to you? Right.
Because you look your best at your wedding photos,
yeah, but,
and then the rest of your life they compare you, and they go, wow, you look bad.
See,
but if you were fat and then you slimmed down
unique,
a bit,
though.
Then they look at you and they go, wow, you look great, and they tell you that for life.
I'm unique because there's hundreds of pictures of me in football uniform looking all Adonis-like and swole with a huge package bulge in my pants and all that. And all that's gone now.
Yeah, I got pictures
now
from junior high, too, so what?
No, it's not junior high.
Oh.
That's the difference between me and you, okay?
Petros.
I was 23 years old.
Are you not?
Six-pack. I look good.
I bet you feel
sinewy
some...
arms and muscles.
But you feel
I don't want to hear it
hey,
from
Petros.
You.
Listen, no, I'm just being... I bet you feel some internal pressure because you want to look good for your soon-to-be wife's sake, because I hear that she's very beautiful from Matt Money Smith, and that's great.
She's a fitness person like you.
But do you also get pressure from your father, who's pretty swole?
Well, him and I just had a weigh-in. He weighs 270.
Wow.
And I weigh 260.
We can put you in that book.
We're both trying to use... I don't have moobs. I don't. You know, every time I come here, you say I got moobs.
I didn't say you had moobs.
You just did.
You said you were 270.
I said my father was 272. Right. I'm 262. And if he wins the bet, we're going to try to lose 20 pounds, both of us. And if he gets there first, I'm gonna have him do the show with Matt.
Fantastic.
For 2 days.
I got a guy way lazier than you, way bigger POS than you are. I got him to lose 21 pounds in 6 days. I could smoke
six days.
What do you want me to do? I'm not going to get an enema.
I'm just saying.
What's wrong
win.
With you?
I'm just saying you could win.
You could win is all we're saying. If you cared, you could win.
All right. Well, we'll talk.
All right.
We'll talk.
All right. We need to take a break. We're going to talk about college football. The championship is tonight. And
is it still going?
We're going to try and.
I can't believe you guys poured me Bushmills. I mean,
well,
it's ridiculous.
Listen, we just want you to be happy.
Hey,
we...
Bean, how about getting one of these books for me, man? This
right,
would be
maybe,
wonderful
maybe next
on
year
my coffee
Christmas.
Table.
Next year,
I might just take this one.
I'm going to show you a picture that's going to make you throw up.
I'm going to show you one. I'm going to show you one, and you're going to become a sundial.
Oh.
You're going to become a sundial. You're going to get so excited.
I'm not sure what that means, but I think it's an erection joke. All right, we'll be right back. have a sip, dude. It's there. It's not going anywhere. I mean,
you know what?
We brought it in.
That
for you.
Just shows
we brought it in.
What
for
Svengalis you guys are?
What are you
just
talking about?
Just how destructive you guys are toward me.
What are you?
I show up. Everybody knows I'm not trying to drink. There's never been alcohol here before. The one day I'm dry, I haven't drank in 4 days. I show up and there's a Bushmills Black Bush. There's a Bushmills Original. There's a Goose. There's an El Don Tequila.
Look, just
and of course Jack Daniels.
We're just saying it's all available.
No, I appreciate that.
If it looks good.
Like our
no, thank you.
That's all. To be comfortable.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's great.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like the Jay freaking Leno show here now. It's like a green exactly. room here at Kevin and Bean. I really appreciate that.
We've stepped this it up is, for the new year.
You guys insult the people, the women that I like. You insult the women, the body type that I enjoy. You insult these
fat
women in the big book of breasts. You try to make me into freaking Charles Bukowski with the drink in here. I mean, what the hell?
Strong reference Charles for our audience. Bukowski. Strong reference for Sorry our audience. That.
Strong reference for any audience.
Yeah, you try to make me like Dave Gahan with the liquor here. Does that work?
Sorry. Hey, Petrus.
Yeah.
You used to know stuff about sports. I don't know if you even
not
followed
anymore,
it anymore.
No.
Because you sure don't mention it on your own show.
I find it best to come in here as uninformed as possible, because if I get too technical, Kevin tries to fire me.
I know that tonight is the college football championship game.
The
Oklahoma.
BCS championship.
Right. And it's Oklahoma versus, who are they playing?
Florida. The
Florida.
Gators.
Right. Okay. Now,
you ever
it
been
seems
to Gainesville?
Ugh.
I have not, no.
Every episode of Cops is taped in Gainesville.
Yeah, it's not good.
It does seem like this year the drums of discontent are beating even louder for disappointment with the BCS non-playoff system. This year more than ever, I've heard more complaints
about
all
these.
You're
going to hear that quiet down in a hurry because
really?
ESPN
Why? What's going on?
Got the contract.
Because President Obama
oh, he's
says
not
he's going to
do
something about
ridiculous.
It.
Yeah, this is so stupid. Listen, guys, the BCS isn't perfect, but everybody thinks college football wants to be like the NFL. It doesn't. College football is very happy with the product they have, and it makes a lot of money. They don't really need a true champion. In fact, this talk, what we're doing right now, that goes the whole season regarding the BCS,
right.
These guys are absolutely in love with, because they're smart enough to understand that talking about it makes it popular and it makes them money. Now, whether or not you agree with these two teams being here, I happen to think that the BCS got it right this year. Now, because of all the discontent, it's understandable. There's a lot of teams that are one-loss teams. There was an undefeated team from a lesser conference in Utah this year. But to be honest, guys, they love with everybody talking about it. They love with everybody getting all crazy and getting all passionate about it. And these coaches saying, well, I'm going to vote my team number one. Well, of course you are, you hillbilly redneck. You, of course, are just you're just endearing yourself to your constituents in this weird little town, you know, Auburn, Alabama, Austin, Texas, or these different places. Everybody likes the fact that they talk about it, Bean. Everybody
so
likes the fact
like
that there's discontent.
My theory on these lists of the hottest 100 or whatever with Maxim is that they throw some of those in there so that you'll go, what? No way. Same thing.
No, it's not the same.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely not the same
so
thing.
So you can get talk. Of course. That's why, I think.
Well,
I think that's why. So that controversy.
No, they don't just throw anybody in there. The controversy creates itself. They don't have to throw anybody in there. The controversy creates itself because college football is regional. You know, now, a lot of stuff that happened during the year, now in the bowl season in college football, looks just completely different. I mean, the Pac-10 looked horrible during the year, and they did. But they go 5-0 in their bowl games. I thought they'd go 4-1. They go 5-0. The Big Ten looked horrible during the season. They looked horrible during the bowl games. That's because you have a bunch of guys with flat tops that work out like Psycho Mike that, you know, are not athletic and can't run sideline to sideline. Just a bunch of fat white dudes that run the rail in the Midwest. Like imagine Emilio Estevez' character in Breakfast Club, but swole. And that's the Big Ten. And then you have all the hillbillies in the SEC. They play great football, but they haven't looked great this year. They've been down. And the Big 12 South was the big thing this year, where all the great teams were Texas, Oklahoma, Texas Tech. And if Oklahoma loses tonight, they'll end up being a joke. I mean, in history's eyes. So it's really funny to watch the way it all plays out every year. But this is an interesting game tonight.
But Obama has been I know that.
But
he's
but
been mouthing off a lot about it.
What? Sure,
he's a high-profile sports fan who has come up with, as a lot of people have, with a way to have a playoff system.
But they don't want it.
Contrary to what you say, I think a lot of fans do.
That has nothing to do with it either.
It should, though.
But it doesn't.
Look, Petrus, let me say this.
You guys don't
How disappointed would you be to sit through an NFL season and not have a Super Bowl champ?
I don't care.
A lot of people feel about college football.
I don't care. Bean, listen to me. And this is what, do you even know who's in charge of college football? Can anybody say that? Exactly. The bowls exist. because there are university, I don't know if you want me to do this, but sure. there are university presidents and conference commissioners that control their territory. They make a lot of money.
Why wouldn't they make more, though, with another round of playoffs for a championship?
You guys know this better than anybody surviving as long as you have in this business. They're afraid of the unknown. They like their little corner of profit. It is huge for them. It has always been huge for them. They like that they're unique. They enjoy the fact that there's bowl games and there's title sponsors and everybody watches on TV and that night is their night. They don't want to convolute it and try to make a playoff. Now, it's going to happen, folks. In 2014, we'll have a playoff structure. But that is 5+ years away. I mean, we have got this BCS, and it gets people talking, it gets people excited, and it's what happens in college football. It's how they do it.
There aren't any guys in charge of universities or districts or whatever that are in favor of?
Well, of course there are, but most all of them are under the thumb of title sponsors, university presidents, and bowl committees. These are old, crotchety, dinosaur-type people that will control this forever, and frankly, I don't care. You know, as a football player, I didn't care if there was a real champion or not a real champion. It doesn't matter. You go out, your world is small, you bang heads with other guys in plastic outfits, you weep, you moan, you gnash your teeth for the entertainment of everybody. It's all brought to you by Bud Light or something like that. And then you go home and you try to have sex with a fat groupie like in the Big Book of Breath.
That's your goal? Right.
Well, that's really how it plays out.
Right. Let me ask you one more question of this, and then we'll take a break with Petros Papadakis. If you were running USC right now, what would your position be on a national championship? Because a lot of people thought it was a better team than just playing for the Rose Bowl this year.
Well, they did it to themselves. You know, USC lost to Oregon State on the road. They know that's them. That's them this year. Their conference was down. Because their conference was down or considered down during the year, they lost a game. They didn't make it. Look, there's only one way to make the championship if you're a USC or you're a Texas or you're in Oklahoma. There's only one way to be sure you're going to make the championship. You schedule bravely in the non-conference, which means you don't play freaking Occidental or something like that,
right,
or the Citadel. You schedule bravely, and you go undefeated. And then no one can take it away from you. If you're USC or any of these high-profile programs and you do that, you'll be in the championship. If you don't, then your fate goes into somebody else's hands, and you have no complaints. And Pete Carroll understands that, but he's got to say the same thing that guy Texas has got to say, that the guy at Utah's got to say at the end of the season. We deserve to be there. Why? So their fans can hear it. But they know it doesn't mean anything.
Weren't there like 8-9-1 teams, though?
Yeah,
and not all of them.
Well, you had 7 1-loss teams and then an 8th team, undefeated team from a non-BCS conference. It would have made for a... You're right. It would have made this year for a great playoff, but the
because they all could have played for a chance at the national title.
We won't have it, Bean, until 2014. So talking about how great it would be or what it would be is a moot point to me, and we don't know what it would be. We don't know if any of the luster would be taken off it or if it would be more exciting because it's never happened in the sport.
But we won't have it till 2014 because of the contract that ESPN has?
No, okay. That BCS, yeah. And, okay. You're not going to hear
I didn't
ESPN
even know that
controls
news.
A lot. ESPN controls a lot of the sports world, and I have I have my beef with them, but they control a lot of the sports world. And now that they control the BCS, now that they own it and they're putting it on, you're not going to hear a lot of criticism within the next few years. I mean, it's got one more year on Fox, and that'll be on ESPN. And this criticism will get more quiet as the years go on because they control it, and they're going to tell their analysts that they can't clown it.
So, quickly, this afternoon, 5 o'clock, Fox, National Championship, Oklahoma, Florida. You said it's a good matchup.
Yeah, Florida will win the game.
They will.
Yeah, Florida will win the game because they have a better defense. Oklahoma is really explosive, and their season was really in front of them the last 4 weeks of the year, and they put 60 points on everybody, just boat racing them. And they have a wild, like, Apache Indian or Cherokee Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. You know, remember that song by Europe? Cherokee, yes. Marching on the trail of tears.
No, I don't. But
oh, come on.
That sounds funny.
You didn't live in the 80s?
I did, but I
didn't. Did Charles Bukowski enjoy that record?
You know what? He was alive for it. I don't know if he was banging Cherokee. He's more of a Charlie Parker guy. But
all right. We have to take a break.
He's good, and Tim Tebow, you know, they'll just ball wash him the whole game because he's a missionary, and he circumcises kids during the summer and runs up mountains, and he's also won a Heisman. There's a lot of speed out there. It will be a fun matchup, a very interesting game to watch that I won't watch because I'll be doing a radio show and trying to ignore that it's on.
Petros Papadakis is here. We'll take a quick break and return after this on the world famous camera. Congratulations to Eddie Espinosa, by the way. I don't think we mentioned from El Monte, who won the brand new Burton snowboard. We give one away.
Why did it have to be Eddie? He represents everything that disgusts me.
What are you talking about?
Macho male energy. Obviousness. Charles Bukowski, guys, come on. Wow. He's trying to keep a literary thread through the show.
Well, let's not.
He won the Burton snowboard. We give one away every day in the 7 o'clock hour. And then don't forget Kevin Amin, Cinco de la Tarde between 5 and 6 this afternoon. Win the snowboard and the trip to Telluride. Now,
wait a minute. Am I going to be gone? Am I going to make? I'm not going to make it because you got the hot actress. But
make that's what I'm saying.
Would I make the De La Tardy and then go against myself
on the radio
this afternoon?
No, we rarely replay stuff. But I mean, we might in this case just for that. Yeah,
it's generally
replay stuff. You guys come back here and just bang it out?
You know us. We are hardworking
individuals. That is awesome. Yeah. Way to go.
Thank you.
Listen, wow, that is sweet. I love Petros as much as the next guy. Maybe more than the next guy.
I love you, Bean.
That Odette Yussman is here in the other room. So, Petros, thanks for coming by.
See you later.
Keep it short.
And I get to have another awkward moment on the way out with another famous person here. Thank you. Oh, I love
she's
that.
So pretty. Now, if she... Look at her in
not
the other room.
Not enough that the guy from Pennywise looked at me like he wanted to headbutt my head into my shoulders.
Look at her in the other room, Pete, and just imagine in your wild fantasy life, if she was into you, if she was digging on you, you'd dump your fiancé for her.
No, I wouldn't. Would you? Number
Are
one.
Are you kidding
number
me?
Number two is you don't know about the dimes the old P has stroked. Okay, come on now. You think I got kicked out just for the aquarium? No, man.
Let's.
I don't even know what that means.
Let's talk about the NFL.
Hey,
NFL playoffs.
Hey,
let's talk about that.
Never made the league there, Kevin.
You know, I had
a cup of coffee with the Saints.
No, I'm not asking you what it was like to play. I'm asking you about. Let's talk about the playoffs.
Oh, sure, whatever.
Does it finally end for Kevin's dream team Arizona Cardinals this weekend?
Why do you like them? Oh, you're from
I'm from Arizona. Yeah. But what happened honestly is I didn't think there was a shot in hell.
You never know.
No, so Ralph was going to Vegas. I gave him $20 to win the Super Bowl. So
oh,
I still have that ticket.
You'll make like what, 10 G's? Yeah, something crazy like that.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Well, that's wonderful. You know, I think they're a good team. Here's the thing about the NFL, guys. It's so weird, and it happens throughout the regular season. It's a little more predictable in the playoffs, but everybody's so freaking good. You know, I watch the NFL, and just, you know, with my acumen for football, I'm just in awe. I mean, it drops my jaw. And so in some ways, it's not as exciting as college football because the thing that makes college football exciting is the mistakes. You know, people make mistakes, so it leads to big plays. There's rarely mistakes made in the NFL. These dudes are all so good, so fast, so mean, so precise, so athletic, so in control of everything their bodies are doing that anybody, and even Detroit, who went
0-16. I was just going to say, except for Detroit.
Even athlete for athlete, they're comparable. You know, some teams played better together than others and, you know, any given Sunday and that whole deal. But to be honest with you, anybody can win these football games because everybody is that good, which is why you have wild cards, you know, end up winning the Super Bowl. You know, often you have different teams just kind of emerge. There's so much parity in the NFL now, and there's no dynasties in the NFL because everybody is that precise. It's down to that kind of edge, razor sharp science that these guys are just ballers. So there is hope for your Arizona Cardinals and that gray bearded God squad, Jesus quarterback, Kurt Warner and his wife with the flat top, Brenda Warner.
She's got the worst
hair. They
don't
run the ball and they can still figure it out. My best friend from high school is on that team, but I think he might be hurt. Clark Hagen's the linebacker. I like the Cardinals, but I don't think they're going to
Eagles Giants this weekend.
The Giants.
Yeah.
The Giants, but they haven't played well of late. But they got that big, giant, 270-pound tailback back. I like the Giants because they're physical. But without the guy that shot himself in the leg, Plaxico Burress, right. they don't have a legitimate home run hitter at wide receiver. They don't have a deep threat. So that's going to be a grinded-out game. I mean, Ralph is going to have something to cheer about until about midway through the fourth quarter, and then it'll be over.
San Diego, who I was, frankly, I may be the only one, was
Chargers!
Surprised to see them beat the Colts, but they are up
you
against
were?
I was.
I knew that Colts would have trouble at Qualcomm. There's no question.
Well, you were obviously right. They're playing Pittsburgh this weekend. What do you think?
They're going to lose that game. That's too, you know, they're from San Diego. Chargers! They wear powder blue, and they're going to Iron City, you know, where everybody says downtown and stuff. I mean, Pittsburgh is a weird place.
Yeah.
And Pittsburgh is just, they're so good on defense. That little guy, Sproles, is a good player. I like him, but without LaDainian Tomlinson, who hasn't been 100%, in my opinion, for about a year and a half.
Yeah.
Being an 8-8 team, by the way, everything at this point is gravy for them anyway, isn't
it? I think so, because of the way their season started out. I mean, they started out their season with their three best players all battling injury, and most of them have really not been able to overcome that. Four best players, actually, if you had Merriman, who is the defender and a really fantastic player, only played, you know, about a half of one game. So they started out the season behind the eight ball and kind of had some bad luck with that really swole official, Ed Hockley. You know, that guy with the huge biceps, just that extra medium Psycho Mike official shirt out there. That guy screwed him on a call in Denver early in the season, and then they really did overcome that. And that's the thing about football. Football is not about perfection. You know, football is not. That's why you rarely see people go undefeated, or you rarely see people not win games like Detroit. That won't won't happen for another 20 years, because it is such a precise game, as I was saying. You just don't often see that kind of stuff. You always see guys overcoming adversity. I mean, that's what football's about. It's about overcoming adversity in a game, in your life, in your workouts, and, you know, in the playoffs or in the Super Bowl. I mean, it's really about that. It's about facing adversity and overcoming it. It's not about just going out there and showcasing, because nobody gets showcased. That's the beauty of football. No matter who you are, in any moment, you can get your neck completely knocked off. Your Adam's apple will be like a tennis ball and will fly into the stands.
Because finally,
nobody is safe out there. Nobody.
A few words before we say goodbye, Petros. Baltimore, Tennessee.
Baltimore?
Mm-hmm.
I like Baltimore is good, and I like that they're named after a poem. They're the only literary team out there named after Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven, who was not from Baltimore, Kevin, but died in Baltimore.
Yeah,
okay. Edgar Allan Poe.
I don't care.
You don't?
No,
you're
not
a homo.
Really? I am? No. They have a wonderful defense, and Ed Reed's one of the best in the business at what he does to safety. He's been picking off passes like there's no tomorrow. And I like Tennessee, too, though. Lindale White's a great Trojan. He's a good dude. I think Tennessee wins this game, but it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out, you know, porcelain scraping, knocked-out teeth, blood.
Sounds like a fun weekend of football.
It will be fantastic. And the game tonight, guys, a college game tonight, will be fantastic, too, even if you're not a big football fan, to watch two quarterbacks who have both won the Heisman who are going to square up against each other in the BCS championship game in Miami. Come on. It's going to be fun.
Petros Papadakis works with our friend Matt Money Smith on AM 570 every weekday afternoon, except for in the 5 o'clock hour. It's weird that they take that hour off.
Isn't that strange?
It's really bizarre.
You guys need to put me up against myself tonight.
No, maybe. We're not. Good,
yeah, you are.
Good to see you, man. Thanks for coming
in. Love you guys. And stay tuned for the awkward moment between me and the actors coming up in about 30 seconds.
Listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 5 minutes till 8.
I got a question for you guys as we take a look at the showbiz beat. Ralph is out today. How sick would you have to be this morning to not come in if you knew Odette Yusman was going to be our guest in the 8 o'clock hour?
AIDS.
I mean, really, you'd have to be almost literally unable to walk. I mean, nothing could keep me out of the studio today, but somehow Ralph managed to call in sick. And that brings his manlihood into question for me, if you want the truth. Like, how could he not be here today? Anyway, Odette is here from the film called The Unborn that looks awesome. It opens up tomorrow. We are going to get her in the studio right after the news. First, though, I didn't see it last night, but Barbara Walters got a must-get interview. Everybody wanted to talk to actor Patrick Swayze. Of course, he from Dirty Dancing. He has been a beloved actor for 30 years or something like that. Last year was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and last night was the first time he sat down to talk about it. He, of course, as you would imagine, is scared as hell. He says, am I dying? Am I giving up? Am I on my deathbed? Am I saying goodbye to people? No way. He's going to do everything he can to fight it. And I was really impressed. I didn't see the interview, but I was really impressed to see how, you know, with the positive spin he's able to put on this disease that puts most people in the ground in less than 6 months. Here he is a year later, and he looks and seems to feel pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also couldn't believe that he did not do, when he was undergoing chemotherapy and everything, when he was first diagnosed, that he did not take anything for the pain. He said, I wanted to stay away from the hydrocodone or the Vicodin, those kinds of things, because I was afraid of taking the edge off my brain and being unable to act because he was filming his new TV show called The Beast. I mean, most of us, you know, just drug me up. Give me anything you can to get me through this horrible thing. But Patrick Swayze, pretty committed to his TV show, and I'm going to feel like a real schmuck if nobody tunes in to watch it.
But are you going to watch it?
No, I'm not, but somebody should. January 15th, it airs the new Patrick Swayze show on A&E.
Thank God O.J. Simpson is already moving to better digs. That's good news, right? He's still in the Clark County Jail for a while, but apparently he's lost a lot of weight because the food sucks.
Yeah.
Right.
But New York Post's Page Six says that they've already moved him to a better facility that allows him to have TV in his cell and play checkers with other inmates.
What?
Well, that's sad news.
So he's already getting some things for good behavior, and it seems like he's been in jail a week.
Yeah.
Bastard.
I wondered about a guy like OJ. Of course, he's probably pretty popular in jail, but you wonder about some of those celebrities if they're going to be targets if you have to take some effort to keep them away from the general population because they're such a target. They're going to be hassled so much because of who they are, what they did.
I'm the juice, whatever that is. I just try to be a good guy.
I would think he would be popular.
I think he's a celebrity.
I would
think
so because he was in sports. You know. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Ralph broke this story for us yesterday afternoon on the Cinco de la Tarde, but it apparently is, well, as close as confirmed as can be. More reports come out that Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew Broderick, who have been one of the couples that, you know, have seemed the happiest over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Sources report that the marriage is as good as done, that she is getting ready to move out of the stable. Apparently he's going to keep the house.
Damn you.
It doesn't say here whether there has been any confirmation of that that rumor of an affair with a 25-year-old woman that Matthew Broderick apparently had last summer, or at least was reported last summer. It's not saying if maybe that turned out to be true and that's what precipitated the split or what the details are. We may never know, but that is a couple that, you know, I know a lot of people were pulling for because they both seem like good people. I mean, she should not be in movies or anything that involves her to be looked at, but by all accounts, she's a very nice woman.
I'm going to say a good looks like a good person.
She does. She seems very much like a good person.
Not a horse, a person.
Looks like a horse, all I'm saying. Tom Cruise's latest role in Valkyrie was not an easy one to pull off, apparently. Katie Holmes is telling AbsoluteNow.com that his wearing an eye patch made filming very difficult for him because he lost his balance and depth perception and stuff like that.
I would imagine that is true.
I thought he was great in Valkyrie. I thought the movie was really good. But he's still, I mean, it's hard to get past Tom Cruise in an eye patch.
Because he sounds like Tom Cruise.
And then halfway through it, you realize that he's got a fake eyeball, and he brings it with him, like when he's meeting important people, and pops it in. And then it just looks normal. It doesn't even look like a glass eyeball. It just looks, it's him without the patch.
That's stupid.
So he can wear it whenever he wants, but.
I haven't seen the movie, but you thought Tom Cruise, I mean, I think he is capable of good acting, but it is increasingly difficult to separate the actor from the role. But you thought he was able to play a guy and you were.
His real life when he went crazy in all these TV interviews, it's the same thing. So you go, wow, that's just Tom Cruise.
Not really
Tom
acting.
Yeah. Right.
I think that's why he was so darn enjoyable in Tropic Thunder, is because he was just like popping the balloon, you know, of self-importance by just playing that character, that big, fat, loud, gross character.
He was unrecognizable in that.
He's fantastic.
Yeah,
he's
really
fantastic.
Was.
I just watched that again over the holidays.
And
he is the highlight of that movie. He is great. All right. We have many more stories we could report to you, but why bother when Odette Yussman from The Unboard is in the other room? Nobody wants to hear from us, right? Psycho Mike, we need you to head out for some food, obviously.
Nope.
I know you came in with shade.
Nope.
Showering in a suit, but
let's go to Taco Bell today.
We're going to have to send you to Taco Bell, and you can bring something back for Miss Yussman if you want. She'll be in coming up after the news. Celebrity birthdays today. How about Stephen Hawking? He is the smartest man in the world, 67 years old today. Musician R. Kelly is 42 today. David Bowie turns 62, and actor rapper Xzibit the X is 35. And that is the K-Rock Showbiz.
Are we human?
Okay, or are we dancing?
Yeah,
okay,
right,
I got it. We understand.
What's Dave doing in here?
It's done. Yeah, what is Dave doing
Dave,
in here, by the way?
We don't need you.
Oh, yeah, I got to work on the podcast. So
in here?
Yeah, totally.
You don't work? Why are you wearing a tie?
It's Thursday. BCS Championship.
And a sweater vest?
Yeah. Dave, why are you, Mike, why are you wearing a suit?
You know, it's Thursday and
BCS Championship.
It's a day away from Saturday.
It's Kevin DeBeecho and K-Rock. Is there any chance that you guys are dressed up because of the young woman who has joined us here in the studio, the beautiful, talented actress Odette Yussman from The Unborn? Is it possible that that's maybe why you're wearing this crazy stuff today?
You're making me blush.
Yeah, Mike, don't do that scream in front of people. It scares them.
He's been screaming like that for 2 days.
It's visceral. I can't control it.
Odette, this must be awkward for you, but we don't even recognize the people we work with anymore because you're here. Why? Can she not hear me?
Gosh,
what's the problem?
No, she can hear. It's just she's too far away from the microphone because she's scared of us.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Oh,
no,
right.
This is really surreal. I was just saying that. I used to listen to you guys all the time going, you know, driving to high school, and now I'm on the show. It's really cool.
We have always imagined in our minds when we picture that Kevin and Bean listener, it always looks just like you. So it's actually ideal. Dave, seriously, you have to step out. There's no need
to. Well, wait a minute now. Dave hates scary movies.
Come on, Dave can stay.
Hates. I mean, he won't go to scary movies.
See, Bean, Odette just invited me.
So now he says that if we let him sit in on the conversation, he'll go to see the movie with me on Friday.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
Dave.
Okay.
Yeah. You guys are actually going to watch?
That's brave.
I love
he loves
that.
Scary movies.
Love scary movies.
Awesome. Scary movies. And I made the deal with the devil. So
Dave's
now,
like a baby.
Now I,
hey, Odette, even before we knew you were coming in or anything like that, Kevin has been looking forward to this movie. He's been talking about this since the day he saw the trailer because he especially loves scary kid movies, right?
No kidding.
Wow, scary kids, man. They freak me out.
They freak me out, too.
Tell us about The Unborn for people who haven't heard about it. Shame on them. But tell us about your storyline.
So I play this character, Casey Belden, normal girl. She starts having hallucinations and these recurring dreams and, you know, crazy things start happening to her. Basically, she's trying to find out why she's becoming possessed. Her eyes start turning colors and she turns to her best friends and to her family. They all think she's crazy. But inevitably, she isn't. And, you know, she seeks help from a rabbi who plays Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman, who's awesome in everything.
He's unbelievable. Yeah. We'll get into that, but he's really, really great. And ultimately, you know, I have an exorcism performed. So
now, it's a, if I understand from the trailer, it's a brother/sister that wasn't born at childhood or something?
I find out that I have an unborn, I'm a twin. And right. I, you know, I don't know if it's a brother or sister, but something else is haunting me. It isn't.
But you were the only one. Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Right.
I gotcha.
There's more than you know, Kevin.
Set up the scene that I would like to play for people of you going into the room and the little kid looking over the crib with the mirror.
Right, right, right. That's actually at the beginning of the movie. That's when, you know, everything starts going down. I'm babysitting this kid, Maddie, and I go upstairs, and he's so freaky. He's holding this mirror against his little, his baby, and I go in just to kind of see what's going on, and then he hits me with the mirror. And it's significant throughout the whole movie, mirrors and that whole
thing. Getting hit by little kids?
Yeah, exactly.
What are you doing, Maddie? Keep looking. Keep looking.
He's talking to the baby.
Maddie, stop that. You have to go away.
Jumbie wants to be born now.
Okay.
That's so creepy.
I'm out. All right.
Yeah.
You can't be out.
No. I'm out.
If you're in here, you're going.
You're not out.
Otherwise, get out now. One or the other.
All right.
Nightmare. Dave.
Who's what? John B? That's what he says, John B?
Jumbie.
Jumbie wants to be born now.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I can say that. I would be giving a lot away, but I mean.
Well, don't then, but.
Well, it's a nickname.
A nickname, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can say that, yeah.
Okay.
Odette, where do the bugs come into the picture?
You know, they are so horrible. They're potato bugs, and David Goyer, our director, he found one in his backyard, and he said, wow, these look really cool. Maybe I can, you know, incorporate them into the movie. So he did, and they're horrible creatures. I mean, I really don't think that they should be living. I mean, they were thrown on me like 20 at a time, crawling on my shirt and biting me. They eat each other. They're horrible, horrible creatures.
And how? What do the bugs, I mean, what sense do they make in the movie? Where do they come from?
There's a scene in the bathroom where they kind of, let's see.
Where do they come up out of the tub or the toilet? Where do they come up out of?
Everywhere. Oh. Everywhere. I see them everywhere, actually. And it's part of the storyline where, you know, my mother comes in and it's the whole possession and all that. And I think that David mostly just really loved those
now,
bugs.
David is the guy who wrote Batman Begins.
That's right.
And The Dark Knight.
Yep.
So he is a great writer. And this is the first time he's directing his own.
No, this isn't the first time. No, he has directed before, but it's kind of surreal to be a part of this and to, you know, have him trust me to be the lead in his movie. And, you know, I'm opposite.
How did you get
Gary
it? How did you get it? How did this come down?
It was a long process, a long auditioning process. I think I went in about 4 or 5 times, and then I had to read with Michael Bay, and because he's one of the producers mm-hmm. as well. So it wasn't easy, but hey, I'm grateful. I'm here right now.
Sure.
By the way, just I don't want to be insulting or anything, but if I'm any member of that company, I'm like, you know, I think she needs to read for me. Which I'm not entirely convinced by her screen test. Let's see her in person.
It sounds like this is a dream job for an actress because you get to exhibit a lot of range, but it also sounds like every single day you get up and you go into work knowing that you're you're going to be miserable, that you're going to be wet, or you're going to be cold, or you're going to have bugs crawling on you, you're going to be hanging upside down, you're going to be jumping, falling, fighting. I mean, every day must have been pretty physical.
Yeah, it's true. I didn't realize that it would be that physical, actually. And the weather conditions were really horrible. We were shooting in Chicago, and I think that they said that it was probably one of the worst winters that they've had in a while.
Oh, by the way, they say that every year in Chicago.
Yeah, I know.
It's miserable in the winter.
It just gets worse.
It does. It's just ugly.
You know, I love the snow at first. When I first got there, it was like I was in Disneyland. Oh, my God, there's snow and the icicles and this and that. And then I hated it.
Day two, you were bored.
I was like, I'm out. That's it.
And you're a California girl, too, right?
I am.
You really have no tolerance for that kind of weather at all.
Absolutely not. But I had to deal with it. I mean, of course, I'm not going to complain. I'm doing a movie. I'm doing what I love to do. But, you know, it wasn't easy. It was really physical and, I mean, emotionally draining. And, you know, the character, she isn't a lighthearted girl. I mean,
no.
She's pretty much tortured throughout the whole movie. So
yeah, there's not a lot of smiling and yucking it up in this
movie. No, unfortunately, not so much.
Now, you mentioned the great Gary Oldman, who's really phenomenal on everything that he does.
Everything.
And he's had so many benchmark roles. But, I mean, as a young actress, when you know you read for a role, you want to get the movie. And then you find out a guy like Gary Oldman is in it. You just have to be like, I can't believe I'm going to be in the same room as this guy.
Absolutely.
Much less be acting in a scene with him.
I couldn't believe it. Well, True Romance really is one of my favorite movies of all time, and just knowing that I was going to be able to act opposite Gary Oldman, I was freaking out. I mean, I couldn't believe it, and I'd been shooting for a while once, you know, Gary got on set, and I asked, you know, one of the PAs, I said, would it be all right if when Gary came on set, if he could, you know, knock on my trailer and I could meet him? And, of course, my trailer was half the size of his, you know, and he knocked on my trailer and I opened it and I literally stood there for a little while just like, oh my God, this is Gary Oldman. I'm like, hi, it's so nice to meet you. My trailer's not as big as yours, but it's okay. Come in. How
you were just
are
rambling?
You? And I really was. But he's lovely. He's so unbelievable to work with and, you know, so giving. And he just makes you a better actor. You know, when you're in the scene, he just ups everything.
He didn't do that for Keanu Reeves and Dracula. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
That was stark.
He had limited amount of talent to work with.
That was a stark difference. He was so great in that, and Keanu Reeves was so bad in that.
Oh, my God.
We're going to say that about me.
No, of course not.
We're going to take a break. Odette Yussman is here. First of all, we're going to change that name. I know you're probably very proud of it, but we can't. It's not sexy enough for you, Odette. I'm sorry.
So my middle like name to call is you... Juliet. So Odette Juliet, maybe
Juliet.
Oh, okay, that's very pretty. Yeah, we were going to call you Candy. That's what the name we came up with. We decided.
What am I, a stripper? I mean,
well, we were hoping. We are going to take a break. And let me just say one thing before the break, because we were having this conversation off the air. Horror movies are generally super easy sells because there's a segment of the population that wants to go out there. No matter how many horror movies come out, a certain number of people are going to go see them because they love the genre. But every once in a while, one comes along that looks like it's more than just a horror movie. It looks like it's a great movie. And that's what this one looks like between the pedigree of the actors you're talking about and the screenwriting and the directing. It really does look like it's got something special in it. And we can't wait.
Thank you so much. I can't wait.
Little Scary Kids and Odette Yussman in The Unborn. We'll be right back. Glycerine, glycerine, glycerine.
Yeah.
All right, I got it.
We're done with that one, too.
Got
it. Oh, my God.
I got it.
There's a little movie coming out tomorrow called The Unborn that we think you ought to go see for lots of reasons, not the least of which is in our studio right now. Odette Yussman has consented to stick around for one more, which I'm very grateful for.
You're
so
kind. Thank you.
What else do we want to know about Odette and her beautiful movie and her beautiful life? First of all, do they do something weird to your eyes in this movie, Odette?
Yes.
Did that happen?
They do.
She's
yes.
obsessed. Possessed, I mean, sorry.
Should I come
closer? Yeah, a little closer.
Should I come closer? Okay.
You're sitting against the back wall.
I know. I'm scared of you guys. Is that better?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Sure,
now?
Yeah.
I had to wear contacts throughout the whole movie. I mean, basically throughout the whole movie. And I've never worn contacts before. I have really sensitive eyes, actually. So I didn't tell them that, of course, before shooting.
Sure. Oh, yeah, I could do that. No problem.
Of course, I can do anything. Are you kidding me?
This movie was nothing but fun for you.
Yeah.
Contacts, crappy weather, cold
the whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Don't they have a thing where they prop your eyes open, too, though? Didn't I hear something about that?
Yeah. David Goyer really put me through hell. I mean, we showed up. There was this scene at the eye doctor, and David said, you know, I have an idea. we're going to put a speculum in your eye.
What?
It's just going to be one quick shot. We'll be done. I was like, what do you mean a speculum? It's literally, it's the most terrifying thing ever. They pry your eye open and they put this metal thing in your eye. Just keep it open.
Keep
and the
it
doctor,
wide open?
Yeah. And the doctor said, don't blink, don't blink. I'm like, what do you mean? I have to blink. This is horrible. They numbed my eyes. You know, they put the drops in, but I didn't do it once. David really liked how it looked. He's like, this is so freaky. This is so cool. So he got every single angle that he could.
Do you think that he went home and said, you'll never believe what I got her to do today?
I'm sure.
You're big
revenge bump. Is coming.
All right, so I have another scene. It's with Gary Oldman, who plays a rabbi. And what's the word of the thing that you think you have?
It's a dibbuk.
A dibbuk. I don't know that
dibbuk.
Word.
I guess that's the right way to say it. It's this Jewish folklore. You know, it's this spirit that's been barred from heaven, and it's, you know, trying to take possession, you know, through different bodies
of somebody on earth. And you think you're possessed by this, and then you go in and talk to him about it.
Right. I do my research. Jane Alexander actually plays my grandmother. She's fantastic, by the way. And she basically breaks it down for me. She tells me, you know, the history of what's going on, and she's been through this, and she knows right away because of the color of my eyes, because she could see that they're changing. Wow. They go different stages of blue. So, so yeah, I go and I seek help from a rabbi. He clearly couldn't perform the exorcism, but he knew somebody that could. But I did.
So
know.
Here's the scene where she talks to Gary Oldman about it.
I need an exorcism performed. I'm being haunted by something.
A dibbuk.
Yes, a dibbuk.
There really is no such thing, Miss Balda. At least not outside the realms of folklore. You have to understand. Back in the Middle Ages, things like spirits and demons were really just a catch-all for conditions people weren't capable of properly diagnosing. Mental illness, as we know it, didn't exist back then.
I'm not mentally ill. Okay, what's happening to me is real.
Yeah.
Sure, lady.
You don't ever want to be using those words in real life. I'm not mentally ill. I'm telling you, this is the way it is.
Or she's really melodramatic.
Yeah, one or the other, sure.
Hey, Odette, before you go, and we wish you could stick around all day, but we do have Jean-Sebastien Jaguar from the Anaheim Ducks coming up in a minute that we're going to be talking to.
Way better than me.
I read that you went to Riverside Community College. Is that true?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, but you're not from the 909, though, are you?
I kind of am. I mean,
that's not possible.
Oh, man.
That shatters everything we've ever believed about the 909.
But wait. Do you still live in the 909?
I do not.
Okay, see, that's the sign.
Where were you born? What city were you born in?
People leave if they can.
I was actually born in Glendale in the Valley.
Glendale?
Okay, that's fair. Okay.
And then I come from this crazy Cuban family, and my grandfather, he didn't have any land, and he really missed his farm in Cuba, so we all uprooted, and he bought some land near, it's a small town called Moreno Valley. So he set up shop there and had
Okay, so you were there, you grew up out there?
I did, yeah.
But you've been able to wash all the dirt off, and now you're all
clean. I think so. I think I'm clean
good.
Now.
Did it smell like cow dung the entire time?
Basically.
Yeah. Good times.
And you'll never go back if you have your choice, right?
Oh, come on, guys. The family's there.
Okay. I couldn't get my head around the fact that you might be from the 909 because we have very strongly held, firmly held beliefs about the 909, and I just don't want them shattered today. Everything I believe is wrong, and that would shake me up too much.
There are a few people.
What
you know,
do you know about Travis the 909,
Parker? Bean? Oh,
you're in Seattle.
Listen, we've
we've driven through it, and we've been on this show long enough. Look, every time we take phone calls, you can tell the people from the 909, even when they don't tell you where they're from. You can hear the meth.
It is.
You can hear the meth, and you can smell the dirt.
It is the Valley of the Dirt, people.
Yeah, you're right.
We've taken a lot of calls from people who actually admit to the fact, and now they've changed the area code to, what,
951.
Yeah, like that's fooling anyone.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know. Come on. All right, Odette Yussman, thank you for coming in. You've been fantastic.
Thank you so much for having me.
The Unborn comes out tomorrow. Dave, you're going with me?
Yes. Dave, you're going.
I guess I am.
Yes,
everybody,
you are.
Please watch. Please.
By the way, our listeners may forget by tomorrow that the movie's coming out, so you may have to come back in tomorrow too, Odette. I'm sorry.
I'm in.
Just as a reminder.
Anytime you want.
It's Odette Yussman, and it's also Megan Good, who is your
sister. Yeah.
My best friend.
Best friend?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, she's great.
Great cast.
Gary Oldman, super hot. So, you know, you got all that to look forward to.
He is super hot.
The Unborn is the movie. Thank you, Odette, for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Get the
exciting for us to catch up with one of our favorite players in the NHL, Jean-Sebastien Jaguar from your Anaheim Ducks, on the phone talking about the big game against the Kings tonight at Staples Center. Jiggy, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year to you guys, too. Thank you.
Great to talk to you again. Kevin, it's going to pain you to hear me say this, but the Ducks pretty much are owning the Kings lately, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't need your help on that. Thank you.
Hello. You know, I think the thing with the Kings, they're a young team, but they're going to be really good in coming up years. But every time we play them, they give us everything. You know, they work really hard, and they have lots of young talent. So it's never an easy game, and it should be a very entertaining game tonight.
Now, you didn't play on Tuesday night. Your other goalie played, right? You're not injured. You just took a night off?
I'm not the one that decides. It's always up to the coach. And lately, the other goalie's been, Jonas Seller, has been playing real well for us. And, this is the
really?
Way sometimes in sports. So, I'm just waiting for my time. And, when it's going to come, I'll be ready.
Is that a little bit awkward to not know? I mean, I imagine you show up every day ready to play, but is it kind of funky to not know whether you're going to be in the net or not?
A little bit, but we know in advance. Like he's told us yesterday who was going to start today, which I can't tell you right now because maybe some of the Kings are listening. But
they all do, by the way, just for the record.
Yeah. Well, so, actually. We're just glad to hear you're not hurt, because that was the first thing we thought when we didn't see you the other night. We thought, oh, maybe he's hurt or something. But that's good. That's great to know that you're also ready and healthy to play.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm ready to play whenever the coach wants me to play. I'll be ready. And we're very fortunate to have two goalies that can play in this league and have success. So we're not competing against each other. You know, I don't compete against Jonas. I just want to go out there and play hard and try to make my team win.
But you don't,
of course.
Well, you have to. There has to be a little bit of I want to outplay him, though, right? I mean,
you want to play. The bottom
right.
line is you want to play, and that's probably you just got to be as good as you can, and then hopefully that's going to be good enough.
The Kings have been starting a 14-year-old goalie named Quick. 14, the guy is.
I don't think he's actually 14. He just looks young.
So
he just looks young, Kevin. That's all. Hey, let me ask you about this, Jay, and I don't know that I've ever asked you this before, but one of the bizarre things about your line of work is that you can play side by side and work so hard and become such good friends with and teammates with players for year after year after year, and then you can just show up one day and they're gone. I saw that you traded Brad May this week, and I'm thinking, how weird must that be? Here's a guy who, you know, you've been skating with for a long time, and all of a sudden he's just not in the locker room anymore. It's a weird business.
This is the part that's not so fun about our business. You know, obviously, everybody, Brad May was probably the best teammate you can ask for, you know, like very friendly, very outgoing. He had tons of stories. You know, whenever you go to dinner with him, he'd tell you stories after stories. So it was always fun to have him around. And plus, he was doing a job that not many guys, you know, want to do or can do. You know, he was a tough guy. You know, he didn't mind to fight. And it's something that we're gonna be missing him. You know, he was a big part of our team, and but we're on the other end, we're happy for him. I think he's gonna get to play a little bit more in Toronto, and I think it's his hometown, so it's probably a good place to maybe finish his career.
I know that when you signed your deal with the Ducks, I mean, you're real happy to be able to know that you're going to call Southern California home for, a number of years and stuff. But there have to be so many players that you've played with who have had to pick up roots and move their family and play for 4, 6, 8 teams. It just has to be, I mean, that has to be so hard. I bet you never get used to that.
I don't think you never get used to it. And especially come trade deadline, a lot of guys lose sleep over it. You know, they're afraid to get traded and stuff like that. It's definitely not a fun part of the game, especially if you have kids that go to school and stuff like that. You know, it's a big change for everybody. Brad made two kids. They both go to school here in California. Mm. So it's going to be a big deal for them, and hopefully they'll be able to take it well.
Now, with the new rules in the NHL where they have a shootout if it's tie, seems like there's a lot more pressure put on the goalies. I mean, you pretty much know going down to the end of the game, if it ends in a tie, you got an overtime with one fewer skater. If that ends in a tie, then you have a shootout, and it's all on you.
Yeah.
Is that kind of a little more scary?
At first it was. You know, it was a little bit of the unknown, and, I definitely, shootouts is not my
my strongest point. So, you know, I don't like it that much.
But, right.
At the end of the day, you know, we battle for, you know, 60, 65 minutes to try to get a win. And then you get to the end there and, you know, you just try to get the extra point, you know. And if you lose, you get to remind yourself that it's not that big a deal. You know, you get a, you at least get a point out of the game and you know, you did your best.
You're almost, it seems like you're almost not expected to stop that because it's such a one-on-one. It kind of gives the advantage to the offensive player. And if you do, it seems like it's gravy, kind of. Is that how you feel?
I think the goalie has the advantage in a shootout, you know, and I think the average around the league is about, you know, 70% for goalies.
Oh, is it? Oh, no,
interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's very interesting that, in that way. So I go in there. We know we're going to face three shooters, so I try to stop two. It gives me about a 66% average. And
then one of them you just rest?
Well, the other one, yeah, I just score, and then hopefully my teammates are going to score some big goals for me.
We are talking to our friend John Sebastian Jaguar for the Anaheim Ducks. Of course, they're playing the Kings again tonight at Staples Center. Some tickets are still available through Ticketmaster.com or AnaheimDucks.com. I know we won't talk to you before the All-Star game, which is only a couple of weeks away, but is this something that's still a thrill for you at this stage in your career, or do you almost wish, wow, I wish they hadn't called me to start because it sure would be nice to get a couple extra days off?
No, it's going to be a thrill. This is my first All-Star game ever, so it's going to be so exciting to go in Montreal to boot, you know, which is my hometown.
That's where you're from, right? Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's going to be awesome. You know, it's going to be a great event. And this year, obviously, I'm not having the greatest of seasons, so it's, you know, I owe this one all to the fans. You know, they voted me in, and, you know, I would have never been able to go without that. So it's going to be a blast. You know, it's a dream of mine to be able to go to one of these games. It's going to be fun to play with all those, you know, those stars player, you know, everybody that's going to be there is just amazing players. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to the experience.
I am so shocked to hear that you've never played in an All-Star game before, Jiggy. I just would have assumed that before, but wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things that happens. You know, there was the injuries and stuff like that, and there's a lot of good goalies in this league, so it's not it's not easy to go to those games.
Sure.
Well, Jiggy is going to be starting for the Western Conference. The All-Star game is going to be on January 25th, but don't miss the Ducks against the Kings tonight at Staples Center. You know, we always love catching up with you, Jiggy, and we wish you the best of luck for the rest of the season. I hope we talk again soon, my friend.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Jiggy. Odette Yussman was in. That was good.
Oh, that was so good. I loved that so much. How long ago was that? It seems like it was forever.
Yeah, it was half hour ago.
Yeah.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Ralph is out ill today. We are going to take a look at the showbiz beat for him in his absence. But before we do that, you know we're all excited about the return of 24 this weekend on Fox. We have a great collector set of all six seasons of Fox's 24 on DVD right now, along with a special redemption movie that just re-aired over the weekend, kind of sets you up for the season. Also, the Jack Bauer bomber jacket, all presented in a special briefcase. This item will go for so much on eBay. If you're a 24 fan, you're going to love this so much. You can give us a call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Let's say caller 24. Caller 24 to win the 24 prize pack for the World Fantasy. Kevin, here's a late-breaking showbiz story. The Apprentice, the Celebrity Apprentice, is coming back to TV, as you know.
I didn't know that.
And it's weird, because that's a show that I thought I remembered had run out of steam and had kind of got canceled.
Yeah.
And then for some reason, it came back with a celebrity edition, and then it was popular, and I guess they're going to continue doing more celebrities. But Donald Trump has been all over the place talking about how we were going to be blown away by the list of celebrities. You're not going to believe the superstars
that
we have lined up for Celebrity Apprentice. Wait till you hear who I got. Well, the list has been announced, and I'll only read the names of the people I recognize.
Okay good.
Some of the celebrities on here, like Anne Duke, I'm not going to even mention because I have no idea why that person is a celebrity. All right, here are the big superstar names that Donald Trump will be enjoying on The Celebrity Apprentice. Singer Brian McKnight is going to be on the show.
Okay.
Comedian Tom Green is one of the contestants.
Wow!
No.
Wow.
Andrew Dice Clay
is alive.
Mother effer is not only alive, but is going to be on The Celebrity Apprentice. Country superstar Clint Black will be a contestant.
Is that
Chloe,
big?
Really?
Is he one of
the, he's a
he
big
was
deal.
15 years ago, yeah.
Did you say Chloe?
Chloe Kardashian. No, Chloe Kardashian, not Chloe from 24. He's going to be on the show. So China will be here. Dennis Rodman will be a contestant.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be good. He would make a great assistant or employee.
He's a hard worker.
Yeah.
He's a motivated hard worker.
Yes.
Here's a friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, one of the contestants on the next Celebrity Apprentice, a guy that I dig and will enjoy seeing on the show, and that's our friend Jesse James from the Monster Garage.
No kidding.
That's different for him, huh?
Yeah.
Why he's involved in a program that also includes Joan and Melissa Rivers as contestants, I don't know.
Are you kidding me?
I'm afraid not, no.
Oh, my God.
Herschel Walker is a contestant, and Brandi Roderick. So that's the gist of
the first person that you mentioned was a pro poker player. I didn't recognize her name, although I've played poker with her.
Oh,
and
you do?
You have. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, that doesn't sound like you would be blown away.
That is an interesting
group.
Oh,
Joan Rivers. Oh.
And her daughter.
Oh, God. Andrew Dice Clay. Come on.
Yeah, but yeah.
It's kind of like a train wreck you're going to have to watch, isn't it?
Almost.
I don't know. Dennis Rodman and Andrew Dice Clay having a conversation together, much less perhaps working on a team to accomplish a task. Maybe you're right, Lisa. Maybe it's just bad enough that it could be something that we have to watch. I don't know. But.
Oops, sorry. We've heard a lot of that noise. Now we've heard that twice. It wasn't supposed to even play once.
Yeah, what is that about?
We've heard a lot of information about Michael Jackson being broke. The LA Times has just printed an article, though, saying that he signed a year-long lease on a mansion in Bel Air. He has been living in the 7-bedroom, 13-bathroom, 7-fireplace estate. He's paying per month.
I'm sorry. I missed how much is the rent on that?
He is paying per month.
$100,000. $100,000 a year. A year?
A month.
That is insane.
$100,000 a month.
A month?
A month.
Well, that doesn't sound like he recognizes the financial trouble that he's in, does it?
No, it does not.
I mean, if I lose my home, which is what happened when he gave up the Neverland Ranch because he couldn't afford to pay the mortgage on it anymore, I then go, well, maybe I'm living above my means. Maybe it's time to cut back a little bit.
Are you talking about Michael Jackson as if he has any grasp of reality?
Yeah, I guess that's true. And finally, this is big news because everyone loved Iron Man. It was one of the best comic book movies of all time and one of the biggest hits of 2008. And, of course, you know by now that Iron Man 2 is going to be happening. Our friend Jon Favreau is going to be directing again. Robert Downey Jr. is going to be back in the title role. There's starting to be a lot of talk about the other casting. You know, just like with the Batman franchise, you look at the Iron Man world, you go, well, who's going to be the next villain? Who's he going to be battling in the new movie? Well, apparently, and I wish Ralph were here to explain, the Crimson Dynamo apparently is going to be the villain, and it's being talked about by being played by Mickey Rourke, who is, of course, on the comeback trail with his new film, The Wrestler, in theaters now.
The Crimson Dynamo.
A heavily tattooed Russian arms dealer and an evil version of Iron Man, he also has a nuclear-powered suit of armor. According to The Hollywood Reporter, Sam Rockwell is also in talks to play a villain in the flick named Justin Hammer. Only in the comic books could you have a guy named Justin Hammer.
Justin Hammer, reporting for service.
A multi-billionaire businessman and the rival of Anthony Stark, who is the industrialist played by Robert Downey Jr., who's also Iron Man. So that, I don't know much. I used to read the Iron Man when I was little, but I'm too far removed from it to remember these characters, but I'm sure it's going to be good because of the pedigree involved, but there you go.
Yeah, Favreau, being the director again makes it good to be.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is David Bowie. He is 62 years old today, one of the surviving members of the L.A. rock legendary band The Doors. Robbie Krieger turns 63. Singer Sean Paul, 36. Singer and actor Exhibit is 35. I didn't have this tape up earlier today, but here's a little bit of birthday boy R. Kelly in a recent interview after his acquittal on all of those child rape charges.
Do you like teenage girls? When you say teenage, how are we talking?
That's all you need to know. About our friend. Because teenage, you know, what does that tell you?
I'm sure he meant 18, 19.
I'm sure that's what he'd like us to believe. But he's not exactly checking for ID before he sets up the video camera, is he?
Wow.
R. Kelly is 42, and that is the K-Rock show.
Hey, isn't it Stephen Hawking's birthday, too? Because I have a clip from the sex tape.
Oh, Stephen Hawking, Dr. Stephen Hawking, is 67 years old today, yeah.
He's got a sex tape. I don't know if you've seen it.
No. That feels so good.
Oh, yeah. Like that.
Baby.
I thought about this all day.
Not so fast. Oh. You are hurting me.
Oh, no. Oh. That's where it gets ugly.
Oh, that went wrong.
That's very, very hot. I want to thank all of our special guests on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, including our friend Petros Papadakis. You can catch him this afternoon with Matt Money Smith on the AM 570. Thanks to Jean-Sebastien Giguère, of course, playing for your Ducks against the Los Angeles Kings. That's going to be tonight at Staples Center. Get tickets through Ticketmaster. And thanks to the beautiful Odette Yusman.
Yeah.
Stopping
by today.
Mike, hey, Mike, try not to do that when she's in the room, though.
I couldn't help it.
I know,
did
but you scared her.
Look on her face.
She almost ran.
That was a look of desire.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Hotter, at least as hot in person, I think, as she is in the photographs. Don't you guys think?
Yeah, hotter. Absolutely. Hotter.
I mean, she's
yeah.
she totally, totally has it. That hag, Megan Fox, man. I don't know what we ever saw on
yesterday's
her
news.
I met Odette. Yeah, totally.
You know?
Anyway, Odette's film is called The Unborn, and that opens up everywhere tomorrow.
Don't forget, all day long, we're giving away Burton snowboards, brand mm-hmm. new one. We're going to give you one in the 11 o'clock hour, one in the 3 o'clock hour, one in the 7 o'clock hour. And this afternoon on Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde, we are going to hook you up with the snowboard and a trip to Telluride, Colorado.
So lucky.
Airfare, hotel, lift tickets, the whole deal.
So we'll see you back here at 5 o'clock this afternoon, but don't go anywhere. Cat Corbett is next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. That song from Acalyptica that you like so much called I Don't Care is going to be included. Also, the Radiohead, Offspring, Puddle of Mud, Killers and more next on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde.
And there's lots of reasons for you to listen every afternoon between 5 and 6, not the least of which is us and our Mad Beats. But we are also giving away another trip to Telluride, Colorado that you can win between now and 6 o'clock. We're talking about all expenses paid, airfare, hotel, lift tickets, and a brand new snowboard. We'll give you a chance to win that in the next few minutes here on K-Rock.
I have three good songs to introduce you to and one crappy one.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. The balance is good.
Three kind of new, different special songs that I think are good. Mm-hmm. And then the one that sucks is the worst song ever, and it will be stuck in your head for the rest of your life.
Oh, good.
And it's stuck in mine, so I'm going to get it stuck in yours. Sorry. That's the way it works. The first band is a dude named Ian Fleming. Mm-hmm. That's his band name. He does a song called I Suck. And this I heard on Kat's Sunday Night Locals Only show, 9 p.m. here on K-Rock. And here's a little bit of I Suck.
I'm the guy who sucks. Everything I do just sucks. I don't try to suck. It just comes naturally. I play guitar, but I suck. I write these songs, but they suck. I try to sing, but I suck. And here's what it's like to suck. I went to a club the other night.
So then they go on, and then near the end of the song, he's got a whole group of backup singers going, I suck! I suck! It's so, really great.
Finally, you heard something on the radio you could relate to, and you said, now you've got a new anthem I'm going to share.
It's really great. So that is Cats Locals Only, Sunday nights at 9. Ian Fleming, I Suck is the name of that. Then there's a remix. You know how some DJs like to put together two different bands?
Mm-hmm.
Mashup. Yeah, mashup. You may have heard of Minty Fresh Beats.
Maybe.
Or not. But Jay-Z and Radiohead are not two bands that I would necessarily think would go together.
Yeah.
You know, Jay-Z did the thing with Linkin Park, but Radiohead doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. But he did this, and there's like 10 songs on it.
I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me. Year's 94, and my trunk is raw. And my rearview mirror is the mark of the law. Got two choices, y'all. Pull over the car or bounce on the devil, put the pedal to the floor.
It's really well done, and a couple of the songs they use Tom York's vocals along with his rapping.
It's interesting.
Fascinating.
This is a 22-year-old guy, by the way, who works in New York City at a post-production company, who's a little bit of a DJ on the side, and it's something he's been working on for a while, that he takes Jay-Z's a cappella tracks from the Black Album, mm-hmm. hooks it up with Radiohead songs, and manages to make something completely new. We do have that available for complete download at krock.com, but get it while it's hot, because that's the type of thing that some lawyer from some record company somewhere is probably going to ask us to take down pretty quick.
Eminem has a new song out, Finally, Finally, Finally. You can get this one at krock.com as well.
So crack a bottle, let your body waddle. Don't act like a snobby model, you just hit the lotto. Uh-oh, bitches hopping in my Tahoe. Got one riding shotgun and no, not one of them got clothes. Now where's the rubbers? Who's got the rubbers?
He's back with Dr. Dre.
Oh, wow.
Dr. Dre and 50 Cent, I think, are on this song as well. So that's called Crack a Bottle. That's brand new. And now the worst song you've ever heard. I am so embarrassed that we had this band play. What Weenie Roast was it? Two years ago?
2 years, yeah.
I think 2 years ago when if it's the band I'm thinking of, Plain White Tees, they had the Hey There Delilah song that was so popular on K-Rock.
Yes.
And now I've not heard their new song. Where did you happen to catch it?
A listener sent me a link saying you have to hear this song. It might be the worst song ever. And
wow.
I just want to remove the word might.
Okay.
And say worst song ever. It's clear they're trying to make another Delilah.
Yeah.
That they're trying desperately to get that love song that little girls are into.
But not inspired in that way.
All right.
No.
Yeah.
No. And it's so... The lyrics are so stupid and it's so childish that I want to kill somebody. But
okay.
I heard it once, and I can't get it out of my head, and that's the worst kind of song, because you hate it, but it gets stuck there. So here they are trying desperately to write a new love song. It's called 1-2-3-4, and it's gayer than the title sounds.
Give me more loving than I've ever had. Make it all better when I'm feeling sad. Tell me that I'm special even when I know I'm not.
All right, I'd just like to stop it right here and say F you. Okay?
Okay.
Is that acceptable?
It's not one of the worst songs I've ever heard.
Wait,
yet. Does it get worse?
Okay. Yes, it does.
Make it feel good when I hurt so bad. Barely getting mad. I'm so glad I found you. I love being around you.
And I think this is the chorus part.
You make it easy.
Nope.
It's easy as 1, 2, 1, 2, there's only one thing to do. 3 words for you.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Come on.
One thing to do.
3 words for you.
What are those?
Well, that was disgusting.
Oh.
Honestly. Come on.
Wow.
Does this sound like pandering to anybody but me?
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible.
I love you.
Aw, it's so sweet.
There's only one way to say those 3 words, and that's what I'll do. I love you.
So the guy comes back to the band and says, I've got our new song. Don't they kick him in the balls at that point? I mean, don't you say, what else do you have?
Until the checks start coming in, I guess that's what you do.
Come on.
Paul McCartney could have written that song.
Really, any second grader,
yes.
that little clever wordplay. But here's the worst part about that song. You will have it stuck in your mind now for days. You'll find yourself doing something else. You go,
God damn it. Give me more love from the very start. Piece me back together when I fall apart. Tell me things you never even tell your closest friends.
So sweet.
Make it feel good when I hurt so bad. Best that I've had. I'm so glad I found you. I love being around you.
All right, everybody sing together. Here we go.
Make it easy.
One. Oh, sorry.
It's easy as 1, 2.
Wait, when is this thing?
1, 2, 3 words for you.
That's pretty catchy.
I love you.
That's pretty darn catchy. But isn't it crappy?
Why are you bad, America?
Come on. See?
Yeah. Damn you, Kevin. Damn you.
Suckers.
Producer Alex is in the studio with us right now. I'm very excited that she has a captive afternoon audience to file a complaint with today on K-Rock. What's the bee in your bonnet here, Alex?
Bee in my bonnet, wow. Grandma. I don't know. Look, I love Palestine. I love Israel. I love you people. Everybody's great. I hope everybody gets along someday. However, could you not protest maybe during rush hour on Wilshire Boulevard?
Well, they do.
You don't accomplish anything.
No, that is where the federal building is.
And at least all the resource, at least, you know, the state of California has a lot of money right now, and so we can afford to pay all these cops to stand out there forever and do nothing.
So this has been a couple days in a row now because of the fighting?
Yeah, and you're...
Describe it.
Well, you on one side of the street, you have the pro-Palestine, and then on the other side, you have pro-Israel. And they have all their signs, and everyone's very passionate, and... Everyone's right, as far as I'm concerned. And they're both just shouting
at each
other.
You don't want to get into it. You just want them to stop
traffic.
I want
to be able to drive across Wilshire. And they're just shouting at each other. And I don't want my ride home to be an extra 40 minutes. Because you don't accomplish anything by standing out there with a sign. It's not stopping bombs. And it's not stopping the federal building from doing anything about it.
I'm going to agree with you that a lot of those people out there are wasting their time. And they're really just talking to hear themselves be heard. Because they're not accomplishing anything. What if I were to tell you, producer Alex, that we have the solution to the Gaza crisis right now, and it's a young man who's on the phone that we can bring on the air right now.
What about? should be in Obama's new administration then.
This yeah, is, and by the way, not an easy solution to come up with.
No. What is this music? No.
But
no,
we
no,
have.
No. I hate come you. On. What? No.
We have
come
a resource on. That we don't use often enough, and he has been
well,
calling.
Only when really, really necessary.
I hate when Mike starts producing segments.
He's
really
been calling and calling about the fact that he has the answer, and that is our friend, the Armenian comedian. Good morning, Sam. Sorry, good afternoon, Sam.
Good morning, Kevin. Happy New Year.
To you too, my friend.
So an Sam, Armenian is going to fix this.
Yes, Sam. Okay. Not just an Armenian, but Sam.
Help out.
The Armenian comedian.
Sometimes you need someone outside the family to be able to identify what the problems are within the house. That's all that's going on. You need a fresh take on it. Look, we're not going to get a solution out of one of the sides that has a vested interest. Sam has no – he doesn't care who wins. He just wants everybody to get along. Right, Sam?
Listen to me. I want to have my own show now.
Yeah, well, this went well, so I can see how you
– why wouldn't we?
Like to parlay the success of this into something.
I want to be a psychic, like Psycho Mike, and then go outside, do things, you know, call me up.
Sure.
Warm up the people.
Of course.
And it's time. It's 2:09. Come on.
It is 2:09.
Wait,
that's true.
Sam is psychic now?
It's 2:09.
I think he said sidekick.
I got the answer to all the problems, you know.
Okay.
Right now, what you see in Middle East, it happened to the Armenians in 1915. How does that bug you? Huh?
wow.
I would question your facts of history, but you've been calling about this for a long time. You have a solution?
Yes.
What is it?
America should be in the middle and be referee.
Yes.
Never tried that before.
I got to tell you, and that's what we need in our history right now, is we need to get right in the middle of that and try to keep the peace, because that'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah, let's get the base down. Everybody go home. Up, man.
You can't, Sam,
the language there.
You can't use that language, Sam, and you do every time we talk to you.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sam, can you hear me at all?
I love you guys. You know, without me, my life is miserable.
Without you, your life is miserable.
Yeah, like I said to my wife, I gave her a card, you know, honey, Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, my darling. You know, without you, I'm nobody, you know. Like my
what
right
you?
Now, America's men is no good. Only worry about children and mamas, you know. And
Sam,
ladies.
I don't have.
I got it.
Any idea what
no,
you're
no,
saying?
No. I figured it out. He's saying American men aren't good. There's too many single moms with their babies, so he gives his
you know
wife
how
a card.
Gay marriages are forcing to be married.
I don't think we want to go there, Sam. If you don't mind, I don't think
tax
we.
Write off. Hey, it's tax write off. If you are single, you pay tax more. If you are married, you pay tax less.
True.
Don't you get it?
He's got all the answers.
He does
this
have all the
incredible.
Answers.
Now, to every problem.
Now, Sam, if you don't mind, let's get to the topic that you've been calling about for a long time. The Middle East, your entire solution is for the United States to be referees?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, the Armenian comedian comes through again.
Oscar De La Hoya gave up because Manny Pacquiao beat them up. You know, it's
are you talking about the De La Hoya Pacquiao fight now?
It's good. Keep up, Kevin. Come on.
Yeah.
How did we get to that? I thought we were talking about the Middle East.
It's the same thing. You know, one has to lose and go home. That's enough.
You know?
It is the same thing here in 209,
you know,
Kevin. Come on.
A loser, the referee says you're knocked out. That's enough.
You know what Sam is? I just realized.
What?
He's an iPod shuffle.
He
it's
is.
Just thoughts. It's not.
Just
it's not
random thoughts come to his mind.
Yeah, he's the human shuffle. You're right.
He talks about them. Well, Sam, I think you've done us a real service here today.
Yes.
And we're very grateful for that because no one ever thought of that before.
I want to have my own breakfast show, man.
Your own breakfast show?
Yes.
Well, you do that then.
Let us know how that goes.
We go to that.
Okay. Can't do that.
I don't want to have breakfast or dinner with that guy. Nothing.
All this week on K-Rock, several times a day, we're giving away brand new Burton snowboards. Those are good, don't you know? And in the 5 o'clock hour, which means just now, we gave away a snowboard. And, oh, yeah, how about a trip to go with your snowboard to Telluride, Colorado? 3 nights hotel, airfare, and lift tickets. You can discover Telluride in southwest Colorado with the ease of direct flights from LAX on United, and you should. So we'll have another one for you tomorrow afternoon between 5 and 6 on Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde.
Ralph's out sick today, so we're going to take a look at the showbiz.
Okay.
Donald Trump. Love Donald Trump.
At it again?
He's bad in every way, that guy.
How dare you? How can you say that? They unveiled the people who are going to be working for him on the new episodes of Celebrity Apprentice this morning, Kevin. Here's what I love about it. is that during the news conference last fall where they announced Celebrity Apprentice was coming back for another season, which, by the way, debuts March 1st, I think, on NBC, okay. He, and it's not like Donald Trump really to pump something up being bigger than it maybe is, he said that the cast was bigger, better, and hotter than ever. There are some major superstars in this group. At that time, he would not get specific. He said he could not release details, and everybody has just been clamoring since then to find out who was going on the Celebrity Apprentice, and today is the day that they have announced the list, and wait till you hear who's on the show. Oh, my God. Seriously.
Now, this is the one that you try to become an employee for him, right, for Donald Trump?
That's correct.
The final victory.
Yes.
Okay.
And the celebrities are all raising money for, they're not going to go work for Donald Trump. They're just trying to win to raise the most money for their charity. Every celebrity has a charity.
That's right. I forgot. This is the celebrity
charity. Okay. All right. How do you get Tom Green, comedian Tom Green? I mean, how do you even get, and I asked that question because he can't have representation at this point, right? How do you find him?
I can't imagine.
Tom Green is going to be one of the contestants on Celebrity Apprentice. Football great Herschel Walker, who has fallen a long way since he won the Heisman. He's going to be on the show.
No kidding.
Kevin, your friend Annie Duke, pro poker player, is going to be one of the contestants.
She tends to speak a lot.
Well, that'll make her interesting.
Yep.
Is it a talker? All right.
I don't think you understand. She talks.
A lot. Dennis Rodman, who, as you know, is nothing if not a dedicated, serious, and hardworking person. So there's no question he'll do great.
The number of words that she uses in a small amount of time is mind-boggling.
Country music star Clint Black is on the show. Khloe Kardashian from the Kardashian TV reality show family.
Oh, wow.
Brandi Roderick, a former Baywatch babe, is one of the contestants. I know you're thinking right now, Kevin and Bean, that's a pretty lame list, but what else you got? How about Deal or No Deal model Claudia Jordan is going to be competing?
Wow. Well, who is he talking about then?
How about pro golfer Natalie Gloubis is going to be on the show?
Natalie. She does good work.
Olympic figure skater Scott Hamilton is going to be a contestant. Oh, here's one. Our friend Jesse James from Monster Garage is going to be one of the contestants.
All right, that's the first one that sounds good.
Yeah.
That's because you haven't heard Andrew Dice Clay's name mentioned yet.
Wow.
They're doing this in his memory?
the Dice Man is still alive.
He is?
He's going to be on the show, apparently.
Oh, wow, that's weird.
He claims, by the way, that he's doing it because his teenagers are fans of the show and thought he would be good on it. I can't imagine that's true. And I saved the best for last, Kevin, and this is what's going to force you, as much as you don't want to tune in to see the Celebrity Apprentice, you will have to when you find out that Joan and Melissa Rivers are both going to be contestants on the show.
Oh, no.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No, though.
We have to watch this.
But here's the thing. No.
Yes.
It's the Grammys, and I am Joan Rivers right here at the Grammy Awards. But I'm not as happy this year as I usually am. As a matter of fact, I am shocked, hurt, deeply offended. Because before we went on the air, little Justin Timberlake danced up to me and begged me to cover up.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
She's going to be back on.
She got a gig.
Yeah, she did.
Boy, I hate her.
But maybe Donald Trump gets a chance to fire her. Maybe it'll be all worth it.
In the first episode, at the beginning of the first episode, before they do anything else. Yeah. I'd like to start by firing somebody this time.
That'd be funny.
According to TMZ.com, which is the website of record of the Kevin and Bean Show, Lindsay Lohan and Samantha Ronson have broken up.
No!
The salute to tuna.
It's official?
Apparently, it was official.
Uh-huh.
Now they have seen. They do also have video of them going back into the same house.
Yeah.
So, according to TMZ.com, did break up, but Lindsay is still trying to make things work. So they might be together now. They might not. But the breakup did happen.
Okay. Mm.
So all I know is that dude was pissed in the photo that we put up.
He did look really pissed.
Really angry looking.
I think that's
so.
A woman, actually.
No, the dude in the picture.
Yeah.
With Lindsay.
That's a girl.
We didn't get a chance to mention this morning. And again, if you're just joining us, Kevin and Bean, Thicke Le Tarde. Ralph is out sick today. We're taking a look at the showbiz beat. But Spencer Pratt, who is the man we love to hate from the Hills, did an interview with In Touch Weekly recently where he was asked about that wedding. He and Heidi went down to Mexico to get married. Spencer, you remember that? You remember the private ceremony that you had on the beach in Mexico?
How could I forget? It was magical.
Yeah. They asked him about the legality of the wedding, and he said he had no idea that you had to inform officials and fill out paperwork to get married. He thought his whole life that it was just if two people tell each other "I do" in front of a minister.
Anybody,
right? Then it becomes a legal wedding. He didn't understand at all that there is a marriage license and paperwork that you have to fill out. You have
Spencer, how do you not know any of that?
Look, rookies, okay? When you have enough money, like the Spence dog,
right.
You throw around diamonds and cash, you don't need paperwork for anything.
Right, but there's a difference between what you consider soulmates, you and Heidi, and a legally binding contract, which is what happens when
you
send in a marriage
certificate. Bobby, I made a promise in front of Jesus Cristo himself, vow to be with the Uber woman, Heidi, and that's all that matters.
So God is still paying attention to you, honestly?
Very funny, Kendall. Very funny. Next time you try to get into Teddy's, let's see what happens.
That's fine. Thank you.
Michael Jackson, there has been a lot of talk about how broke he is.
Yeah.
He, according to Los Angeles Times, has moved back to Los Angeles so he'd be, quote, closer to the entertainment industry.
Okay.
Which, by the way, let me stop you right there and say, no matter how broke he gets, it doesn't seem like he's ever broke enough to pick up the phone and give Tito a call. I mean, the brothers are sitting around, you know, Jermaine and Randy and those guys are sitting around begging for the Jacksons to go out on tour, which is a guaranteed moneymaker. Can't even get Michael on the phone. Doesn't matter how broke he is. He still won't tour with his brothers.
Well, according to the LA Times, broke Michael Jackson has signed a one-year lease for a mansion, a 7-bedroom, 13-bathroom mansion in Bel Air at the rate of $100,000.
Oh, that's right. I didn't catch the rate
of $100,000 a month.
A month?
And might I add, ching.
A month.
That's
a
insane.
$100,000 a month.
I hope that landlord.
A month.
Got the money up front.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because,
yeah.
You know, he could move in there, and it takes like 6 months to kick someone out who's not paying their rent.
Michael's going to be a squatter?
Who knows?
Why does he have to need to get closer to the entertainment industry? I mean, you can get basic cable anywhere in this country.
Yeah, that's true.
Good point.
He's not doing anything in the entertainment industry.
Nope.
Actors availability. Of a certain age, perhaps. That's all. Allegedly.
Oh, that's ugly. Today's celebrity birthdays. How about a legendary great K-rock artist, David Bowie, one of the highlights of the acoustic Christmases that we've had throughout the years here at K-Rock was the year that we had David Bowie headline. Remember how awesome
he was?
He was
great, yeah.
62 years old today. 1 year older is one of the Doors' surviving members, Robbie Krieger, a great Los Angeles band. He is 63. R. Kelly, who got away with it, is 42 today. Singer Sean Paul, 36. Exhibit is 35. Terrific actor. We've had him on the Kevin Bean Show a few times. Cool dude. Kevin, your personal hero and the smartest guy in the world, physicist genius Stephen Hawking, 67 today.
That guy and I have so much in common. It's just crazy.
You guys get together and talk. The rest of us can't even keep up. No, we don't have any idea what it is you're talking about.
It was like we were twins separated at birth.
Mm-hmm, but congratulations to Dr. Hawking. And I know we don't ordinarily do this, but this is not a birthday. But today is the anniversary of something that happened in history that Kevin has said on many occasions is his favorite thing that has ever happened in history. It happened on this date back in 1992, Kevin. Any idea what it could be?
I was thinking, when you said that, I was thinking when Vice President Dick Cheney shot a man in the face.
Well,
that was good.
That certainly should be on
the
list.
All the riots!
You're close though with Dick Cheney. You're in the right ballpark. Oh. It was when President Bush, George H.W. Bush, vomited on the Prime Minister of Japan. Happened on this date back in 1992.
Was awesome.
Which I know is one of your all-time favorite things that's ever happened.
And they got to sit the right way, and they have all these rules, and they can't do this. Now, he just lost it right on the guy's lap. That was great.
It was pretty funny. Well, that happened 17 years ago today. That is the K-Rock Showbiz Beat.
I just screwed that joke up. Go back. Go back. Bring it back.
All right. Thank you, Joan.
Yeah, she's good. Let's assume Ralph's going to feel better and join us tomorrow morning to do the showbiz the way it's supposed to be. What else do we have planned for the show?
We have the movie beat, of course, because it will be Friday. We have Andrew Siciliano talking about the NFL playoffs this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have this weekend. Those of you that have been fired because of Facebook or MySpace.
Oh.
Because we know a lot of companies are paying attention to that now. It's unfortunate, but they are. And we have a Burton snowboard tomorrow morning, too.
Cool.
So fantastic. We'll don't go anywhere, though, because how about 60 minutes of nonstop, uninterrupted K-Rock music coming up next with Nicole Alvarez. The Kings of Leon is going to be part of that. Linkin Park, the Chili Peppers, Weezer. And I'm going to try this name again. The band is Apocalyptica.
Nice.
Is that right?
Nice.
And their song is called I Don't Care. All of that straight ahead right here on the world-famous K-Rock.